I called the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
Hold on, ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from there.
Yo. Welcome back to the Fix Sports Podcast. But as you know by now, you already know which is the realest and blackest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. Your entire life coming straight from the south, going down on this 4th of July week right here on the Freedom Train Network. www.freedomtrainradio.com. I am your host, Joseph Ward. And we don't celebrate the 4th, but we sure gonna take that day off and hang with our family and our friends and get it in how we get it in. And we don't celebrate the 4th because our people wasn't free on the 4th. So the hell we celebrating for? You feel me? But what we are gonna celebrate is black excellence on this network. What we all go celebrate is our black history. We all go celebrate our black culture. We all go celebrate black folk being black folk. Hey, man, and if y'all hear firecrackers busting off in the background, y'all already know, yes, it's Friday. It's freaky, fantastic, faithful, fulfilling, fine-ass Friday. But you know how black folk, they going to pop them dang on firecrackers till they ain't got no more. They don't care what day it is. They're still going to pop them firecrackers. So, hey, man, you know, that's how I get down. But this is the Fix Sports Podcast. As you know, the Fix Sports Podcast is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants. And On the Shoulders of Giants brings you African history at your fingertips and on the go through their African history book series, the blog series, the African history curriculum app, the nonprofit organization, the On the Shoulders of Giants YouTube channel, and, you know, always the lectures, keynote speaking engagements, historical educational classes, all those things, information that is designed to be handheld and digital so you can have it on your smart boards in your classrooms, your smartphones, and your tablets, whether it's an iPhone or something else, an Android or whatever that. We got you on the Shoulders of Giants. All you got to do is visit www.ontheshoulders1.com to learn more about On the Shoulders of Giants, the blog, and www.ontheshoulders.org to learn more about the On the Shoulders Giants nonprofit organization. It's going down in South. Tune in, check out what we talking about, going down in South. So on today's podcast, we got a good one today. We got a real good one. I'm going to help you end the week right on this good Friday with this good podcast, a good Fix podcast. And so, quick rundown before I start running my mouth. My HBCU spotlight is aimed at Morehouse's Tyrus Walker, who made the Knicks Summer League team. So we're going to talk about that. And we have my homeboys back from the Nothing Above the Moon podcast, Mike and Cam. They're going to be joining me shortly, because we got a lot to talk about. Remember, LeBron James is a Laker. DeMarcus Cousins is a Warrior. Like, who saw that coming? A lot of stuff that happened in the NBA, a lot of free agent moves. So we're going to talk about the NBA free agent moves that didn't happen. I feel like the NBA season is over already, but we're going to see. We're going to talk about the NBA draft with these gentlemen. We're going to talk about LiAngelo Ball with these gentlemen. These are things I want to go back and cover with these gentlemen, the JBA, talk a little World Cup, And then we're going to end it with these gentlemen talking about the brawl that happened between Australia and the Philippines, the FIBA brawl between Australia and the Philippines. Us around there looking like Power Rangers jumping through the air trying to fight. A whole bunch of basketballers don't know how to fight, but, you know, that's how they was doing it. But then my weekly rant is going to be aimed at, even though I still like Brazil and I still like Neymar, it's going to be aimed at Neymar and the other soft-ass soccer players who be trying to milk the hell out of them fake-ass injuries that they be having, man. I got to get on this World Cup time. I got to get on them. But before I get into my HBCU spotlight, you know, I got to run my mouth a little bit. Man, it's just, it's been a lot going on in the world of sports. And it's amazing how NFL and NBA dominate the headlines. Because, like, as of right now, basketball has ended, but the free agency period just, like, taking over the news headlines. You got soccer, you got tennis, you got baseball, you got WNBA going on right now, you got the Big Three going on right now, you got the JBA going on right now, and NFL training camp is going on right now. So it's a lot that's going on, but it's not a lot that's going on, but we're in this wax and wane period of the sports year where there are a lot going on, but then again, a lot has not been covered. But women's sports, and I just want to take this time to encourage our people to show more love to women's sports. Stop slighting women's sports. Me and Patrick, you know, Patrick, co-host of the Freedom Train podcast series, co-founder of the Fix Sports, of the Freedom Train Network, we were talking the other day about how women's athletics don't get the love that a lot of these teams deserve. Like, I'm here in Tallahassee, and FSU softball team just recently won the Women's College World Series. But if you're not into sports and you didn't find out that happened and you just in the city, because I'm in Tallahassee, you wouldn't have known. Because women's sports don't get no love like they're supposed to get love. And I think women's sports need to get more love. Why don't we show women's sports love? And I got to side eye a lot of these women sports analysts as well, because a lot of you women sports analysts, you all will go on tirades and different rants about how women's sports needs more love, but y'all won't even talk about women's. I talk about women's athletics more than a lot of these shows who are hosted by women, these sports shows who are hosted by women, from what I hear. So I just want to take, you know, a little minute, you know, a little early rant. Hey, man, y'all show women's sports some love. Stop neglecting women's sports. Like, these women are very, very skilled and good at what they do. And, you know, women athletes need love. They need to support. If you want to see, like, the WNBA, if you want to see it grow, you got to support it. For women who play softball after college, it ain't that much to do. So let's make sure that we're putting our time, our money, our resources, our energy into supporting women's sports. I hope one day that we have a women's professional football league, a real women's tackle professional football league, because y'all know how I feel about that lingerie league. A lingerie league full of shit. It ain't no real football. We need a real women's football league. You already got the Women's Football Alliance. I like that, but we need a real women's professional football league that's well-funded, you know, and going out there, and let's make that happen. All right, so enough of me going on my early rant. So HBCU spotlight time. Man, if y'all ain't never been to no HBCU sporting event, you tripping. You got to go to an HBCU sporting event. I almost got lost in the music. I almost gave you the whole song. Hey, I'm telling you, man, you got to go to an HBCU sporting event. Some of the best. It's one of the best times you'll ever have. But all right, Morehouse, I had to do that because we're talking about HBCU spotlight. And, you know, HBCU bands be putting it down, right? So Morehouse, Tyrus Walker, is on the Knicks Summer League roster, a step closer to his NBA dream. Tyrus! So Tyrus Walker wanted to quit basketball. Most schools thought he was too small. The coach who had originally recruited him to Jacksonville State ended up getting fired. He was done. I had already stopped playing basketball after I figured it was over with, Walker reclaimed. And Morehouse coach Grady Brewer just came to my house and was like, don't give up. You're going to get where you want to be. Just stay patient. And that's exactly what he did. Every doubt, slight, and shout, Walker took to the chin. It fueled him. And thank God, too, Walker's 22.8 points per game in the 2017-2018 season played a crucial role in leading the Morehouse Maroon Tigers to the best start in school history. 4 years after contemplating retirement, he's earned the opportunity of a lifetime, a spot on the New York Knicks Summer League team. I feel like people are waking up now, Walker said, but I'm definitely still going to do what I do and let it go from there. I just want to show New York and the rest of the team that I can bring winning back to their coach. For Walker to become only the second player in Morehouse history to play in the NBA, he'll have to first make a mark in the Las Vegas Summer League. His first opportunity will come against his hometown Atlanta Hawks, pitting the Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference product against freshman sensation Trae Young. Get him, Tyrus. Get Trae Young, there, Tyrus. Forget Trae Young. Get him, Tyrus. Get him, man. That's what I'm talking about. You're probably reading this and already doubting Walker's ability. I ain't doubting him. Hey, you're going to dunk on Tyrus Walker, going to dunk on Trae Young, and put his nuts in Trae Young's eyebrows. Tyrus Walker dunking on Trae Young. I'm going to say it right here, right now on the fix. Tyrus Walker dunking on Trae Young. Okay? Don't. Or maybe you should. If his Morehouse career was any indication, Walker loved when the odds were against him. Whoever doesn't give him an opportunity will regret it, in my opinion, said Brewer. I've coached professional basketball players, Elmore Spence, Harold Ellis, Larry Lewis. The latter two were from Morehouse. I kind of got an idea of people who have it, and I think Tyrus has it. That's it. That it has been on display since day one. The Maroon Tigers were coming off a 7-20 season when Walker arrived on campus during the fall of 2014. The next season, the Maroon Tigers went 15-10, in large part because of Walker, who led the team in scoring with 14.8 and 2.8 assists, basically at 15 points and 3 assists a game, as well as 7 other categories en route to being named the SEAC Freshman of the Year. Tyrus! Academic ineligibility limited him to only 11 games during his sophomore season, but he wasn't fazed. He bounced back the next year, leading Morehouse to an 18-10 record while collecting a slew of accolades in the process. He's a gamer, Brewer said. When the lights come on, he's going to get it done. His potential, it really, really, really hasn't been seen. This guy is special. Watch Walker play for any amount of time, and it's not difficult to point out why he dominated at the Division II level. Call it hunger, aggressiveness, vindictiveness. The 6'1" guard just wasn't cut the same. 6-year NBA veteran Kyle O'Quinn saw it almost immediately at last summer's inaugural National Basketball Players Association Top 50 camp. O'Quinn, who played 4 years at Norfolk State, was impressed by Walker's scoring and playmaking ability and something else. He had a little chip on his shoulder, O'Quinn said. He wanted to prove people wrong and just prove that he belonged. I know coming from an HBCU, you got to have that mentality, because if you don't, you'll get labeled as a small Division I, Division II player. I think he had his mindset straight coming out his senior year. Knicks scouts saw this firsthand when Walker put up a career-high 47 points in an overtime victory against Benedict College. He couldn't, or better yet, wouldn't be stopped as he scored all 11 of his team's overtime points. That's what's up, Tyrus. He's always his best when his best is needed. He always tell me during the year, don't worry, coach. And at the end of the game, I don't have to worry. I didn't have to worry because he did, because he do it. The bigger the game, the bigger he was going to be. Still think Walker isn't the real deal? Ask a junior. Walker outdoed future All-SEC guard J.J. Frazier in an exhibition matchup against the University of Georgia. No game, however, matched the intensity of Morehouse's matchup against cross-campus rival Clark Atlanta. Think of it as the historically black college version of Duke and North Carolina, right? In his seven games against the Panthers, Walker lost only twice while averaging just under 23 points on 46% shooting and seven rebounds. Walker's knack for showing up when it mattered was a crucial selling point for Daryl Comer, the Morehouse product agent. You have to take it into consideration that he accomplished on that level as far as scoring records, as far as big games, as far as how he competed, and when he played Division I teams and held his own like when he did against University of Georgia, Comer said. He played against some high-level competition and shown on film that he can hold his own. Although no one questioned Walker's ability to score, it was his ability to create opportunities for others that drew some concerns. The Knicks flew Walker out to New York for a workout on June 5th in an effort to see how he measured up against players from Division I schools. One of the highlights included a game of 3-on-3 featuring the likes of Billy Preston and Jalen Barford. In his first time in the big city, he didn't back down. I guess they felt like I was a scoring guard, but they saw that I can create for others and make everyone else around me better too, Walker said. The Knicks and Hawks face off Saturday, so that's tomorrow. So the first day of summer league play, he'll be playing against several highly touted draft picks, including Young, Michael Porter Jr., Muhammad Bamba, and Robert Williams. A tough matchup, of course. Young was taken fifth overall in June's NBA draft for a reason, but this wouldn't be the first time Walker has decided to dive us, and it definitely won't be the last. So y'all know how we got to do around here on these Fix Sports podcasts when we don't now HBCU Spotlight. Tyrus Walker, for all the work that you put in, all the grinding that you did, all the overcoming that you did, everything that you went through, you led Morehouse from out of the dumps of being garbage to being a formidable team with your scoring, with your playmaking ability, with you making others around you better, with your assistant and all that. So everybody, go ahead and get up on your feet. I want my homeboy in a little shirt. Go ahead and get everybody ready. Put your hands together for Tyrus Walker. Y'all know how we do it. Already. All right. Tyrus. I love the historic stuff. See, that's what this is. This is why I do my HBCU spotlights. Because for one, we got to make sure that we're showing love to people from our community. And two, somebody got to do it. Damn it, right? Somebody got to do it. So I said, hell, why not be me? Right? So that is our HBCU spotlight. So y'all make sure y'all be on the lookout for Tyrus Walker. And I hope that Tyrus Walker actually can make a spot on the New York Knicks roster and not just be on a summer league team. So, it's really going down. Hey, man, so y'all already know what time it is. On this freaky, fantastic, faithful, fulfilling Friday, right? This 4th of July weekend, even though we don't celebrate the July of 4th. Right, but I think I got somebody on the line. Who we got on the line? Who is this on the line? Who we got on the line? Was it this Cam or Mike? Which one of y'all? Who is this?
This Cam. I'm in the building, bro.
What's up, my brother? Welcome to the Fit Sports Podcast, man. Welcome back.
Hey, man. Thank you. Thank you for having me back, sir.
Nah, man. I appreciate you for being willing to jump on the line with me and both you and Mike being able to get on the line, come through and talk about some basketball with me, man, because all this NBA stuff that can happen, I need to get my homeboys back up in here, man, and we got to sit down and we got to hash this stuff out because a lot has happened. and then you know what has been pissing me off? Every time I record an episode, a free agent move is made.
Yeah.
So
basically, something probably happened right now.
Yeah, man. So it's like I did my LeBron James special. I did a special show for the LeBron James free agency pickup, and then next thing I know, by the time I get through, Boogie Cousins on the Warriors. I'm like, well, goddamn, I like, man, I ain't got the time to just go back and record another show. So I was like, man, you know what? We got this show that we drop on the Fridays. I got my homies. Let me go ahead and get them on the show, man. So definitely welcome back to the show. Before we get deep into it, can you tell the people about your podcast again?
Yeah. Well, we have our podcast called Nothing Above the Moon. It talks about everything, sports, religion, comedy, anything you could think that you want to talk about, we talk about on our podcast. And, you know, it's on SoundCloud. And we actually got our Twitter page up. We got our Facebook page up. And we also posting our videos on YouTube. So we're going to be everywhere. Yeah, so we everywhere now, man. We global again. we global now. I should say again, but we global now.
So what's y'all names on, like, social media? How people find y'all? What's y'all apps and y'all handles and all that? Go ahead, throw all that out.
Okay. Well, it's, like I said, it's Nothing Above the Moon. Just type in Nothing Above the Moon at Facebook. And Instagram, we still, like I said, we're still working on the handles on Instagram. But Twitter is just Nothing Above the Moon. And you just type in that, and you should find out our handles.
Okay, cool. But once again, man, appreciate y'all gentlemen coming on the show to talk a little basketball with us and a little bit of soccer, but mostly basketball, what's going on in this world of sports, because a lot has happened since the last time we talked. You know, the Rockets got put out. They Chris Paul got hurt. The Rockets lost. The Warriors went on to sweep the Cavs. We knew LeBron was going to leave. The next thing you know, we trying to speculate where LeBron was going to go. I personally wanted LeBron to go to Boston. I just thought that was a good situation for, like, immediately winning. But then LeBron now is in L.A. And then, you know, the Warriors come and make their moves and all these things here. So just a little quick rundown once again for us. Like, we're gonna cover LeBron and the moves he made, DeMarcus Cousins, the moves that the Warriors have made, NBA free agency, a little bit about the draft. I'm going to get y'all ideas. I'm going to get y'all thoughts on LiAngelo Ball. What kind of player do you think he is? Do you think he should have been drafted? And since he wasn't drafted and for right now hasn't been invited to anybody's summer league team, what's next for him? Kind of get you all thoughts on the JBA, the Junior Basketball Association League that LeVar started. You know, talk a little bit about World Cup and ask y'all a little bit, see if you've seen the FIBA brawl the other day, the brawl between Australia and the Philippines. You got the big old 7-foot dudes flying through the air with them karate moves and stuff. So I'll get into some of the stuff like that. So.
Okay.
Yeah. That sounds good. But man, so let's start with LeBron to the Lakers. Did either of you see that coming? And if you saw that coming, what were your thoughts? And how did you really think that, like, this was all going to pan out? And did it really pan out the way you expected it, or what? Like, what's y'all thoughts on all that?
You want to go ahead, Mike?
Go ahead, Ken.
Oh, okay. Well, I just thought that he was going to stay in Cleveland. And personally, I was wrong. So that was it for me, for a nutshell. I think him going to L.A. was more of a business move in a lot of ways. I mean, I think they're going to become a good basketball team over the next couple of years. I don't think he's going to transition in L.A. and they're going to have immediate success. Mm-hmm. But I think gradually over time, they're going to become a better team. So I think this is all about his future. I think his last name means more than his first name right now. And he's trying to set up his sons, you know, in the future so they can have something. So when he leaves the game of basketball, he could pass something to them besides his common knowledge about basketball. So I think L.A. was more of a power move at the end of the day. And him going to L.A., like I said, right now, the team, I think they'll probably be, granted, maybe a fourth or fifth seed at best in the West. So they're going to get better, and I don't think they're going to eventually – I think they're going to eventually get good players, but the one they're trying to get, which is Kawhi,
yeah,
you know, they're going to have to, you know, work on some things to get him, because from what I heard, that's not a slam dunk, like it was previously talked about. So,
yeah, the Spurs,
you know,
want everything for him.
Yeah, they pretty much want his whole roster. They want LA's whole roster.
Right.
So,
right.
They can't really blame him, though, man. A lot of good players. So,
say it again.
So you can't really blame him, man. Kawhi is a good player. So if you can give him somebody and send him to the West, if anything, you want to make sure you get what you can from them. You know what I mean? You don't want to just send them to another team in the West for scrap. So.
Yeah, I don't blame San Antonio for not wanting to send him to the West. Send Kawhi to the West. I don't blame him because I wouldn't do that either. But before we get deep into that, Mike, did you expect LeBron to go to the Lakers?
No, like towards the end, I just kind of started winding down. Just right before he actually went, I was like, yeah, I think it's pretty much gonna happen, man. The way all the signs were pointing, and the way he was talking about how he wanted to make business decisions and all that stuff for his family, I saw that being kind of like breadcrumbs going to lead to LA. But originally, no, I didn't think he was going to end up going to Lakers. I didn't know where he was going to go. Be honest with you, man, it was kind of up in the air. But he did say that he wanted to make his next decision like a family and a business type decision. You know, we can tell LA is not a basketball decision because that roster is not much better than what the Cavs had. So.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, because I'm looking at the roster now. I'm looking at the roster. This is, I guess, the roster as of right now, post some of those free agent moves they just made. So you got Lonzo Ball, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Alex Caruso, Luol Deng, who's making $18 million this year. Luol Deng, Channing Frye, Josh Hart, Andre Ingram, Brandon Ingram, LeBron James, Kyle Kuzma, Brooke Lopez, JaVale McGee, some dude name I can't even say, so I ain't gonna try to say it. They don't even have a number for him. Gary Payton II. I had no idea Gary Payton had a son or had a son that played basketball, was even in the league. Got Rondo, Lance Stevenson, Isaiah Thomas, Moritz Wagner, Travis Weir, and Ivica Zubac. Yeah. That's not a good one.
Yeah. Didn't he leave? I mean, he left Cleveland, obviously, to go to L.A., but then, you know, he sent Isaiah packing. You know, because from what I heard, you know, is that, you know, Isaiah Thomas, he came in there and basically, you know, he thought he was LeBron of Cleveland. You know, he was talking about how bad the team was, you know, he was giving his honest opinion. And, you know, it didn't last long, you know, but I wonder how that dynamic is going to work in L.A., especially the same dynamic he has with that he's been playing against, which is Lance Stevenson. And how they're going to work together. Because, you know, I mean, Ron Artest and Kobe played together after they had their little feud. Matt Barnes and Kobe played together after they had their feud. So it's not unprecedented that superstars who had feuds with certain players, even to a certain extent with Dennis Rodman and Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, he played with the Bulls. So I think it could work. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see that dynamic between those group of guys.
Yeah, I don't think Isaiah Thomas is going to be on this roster too long because when I'm looking at these moves, Magic got something else up his sleeve with this team because you bring in Rondo. You already have Lonzo. You got Lonzo, so you got Rondo, and then you got Isaiah Thomas. Somebody get moved. I don't know what move Magic is going to make. I don't even know what all the free agents. I got to try to see what all free agents are still out there. But I think that Magic has something else up his sleeve because, like Mike was saying, I didn't believe. I always knew that the Lakers was a possibility. Like I said, I personally wanted LeBron to go to Boston, but I've always thought the Lakers was a possibility. I just didn't think that was going to happen, especially after Lonzo dropped the diss track on Kyle Kuzma, which I thought was childish and some soft ass light skin shit, you know. But funny. But you know, you just can't drop a diss track on your teammate. So I thought some of that stuff was going to deter LeBron from going to the Lakers. But now that he's there, then I see the pieces that they have because. You got 3-4 point guards. You still got Gary Payton Jr. You got 3-4 point guards. To me, two of them leaving. What y'all think?
Yeah, Isaiah Thomas already in talks with Orlando Magic anyway. They're probably going to end up signing Isaiah Thomas. And I think that would be a good place for him, man, because he can go back to getting his usage rate up back in Orlando because they don't have anybody. They signed Mo Bamba on the They got him in free agency or whatnot. Outside of that, they don't really have a lot of players left that can Well, Aaron Gordon re-signed, too. I forgot about Aaron Gordon.
Right.
And with a man named from last year who got drafted to the Magic. Played for
I know you're talking about. I can't think of his name either. But.
Yeah. So they got a couple of players right down in Orlando, man. But for the most part, he can go back there and kind of be the man, you know what I'm saying, on that team. Because I don't think Aaron Gordon really going to take that team to the next level. So I think that'd be a good spot for Isaiah Thomas. So, for sure, I think he'd be out of there. I don't know what they're going to do with Lonzo. And Gary Payne Jr. might not even make the team, or he might end up getting cut. So, you know, I don't know what they're going to do as far as that point guard logjam they have up there, man. But they do need another point guard to go behind Rondo, because Rondo's injury-prone. I believe Rondo should get that starting spot, because he's still one, to me, as far as pure point guard, he's still one of the top five in the league.
Yeah, pure Rondo a beast. Rondo a beast when he chooses not to be a butthole.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. So all right, so speaking of that, like, knowing the trends of the NBA, how NBA players play, the style of play today, you know, the three-pointer is king now. And the idea is to surround your stars with shooters. And Rondo is not a shooter. Rondo is not a score-first point guard, even though we know Rondo can give you 12 when he really put it to it. He can give you 12, 10, and 10 a night if he wanted to. But that's not his M.O. So what type of team do you see the Lakers being with Rondo at the point versus, you know, somebody who probably be more of a score-first player?
Well, I mean, LeBron for a while wanted to. I think since, you know, these talks have been talked dating back since, I guess, last year, well, 2 years ago, that he's really been wanting to play off the ball. I guess he's been, you know, used, you know, obviously in Cleveland, you know, he was the point forward, so he would bring the ball down the court and distribute the ball. But I think the team you're going to see in L.A., you know, you're going to see more, you know, pick and roll. You know, LeBron's going to be off the ball a lot, so he's going to get more isolation because he's not going to be the one who has the ball coming up down the court. So it's hard to double team that guy, you know, when, you know, he doesn't have the ball and he's moving off screens himself. So, you know, I think it's going to be like kind of similar to kind of like Golden State, not like they can space people out by shooting, but they got a lot of drivers that they can open up a lot of holes for. And a lot of screens that they can, you know, get LeBron, you know, the ball much easier. So I think it's going to be a very good team. Obviously, they need to add some shooters. Rondo is not a shooter. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. I guess he's a decent shooter, but he's not, you know, obviously he's not a Kyle Culver.
He is a good three-point shooter, though. He is.
Yeah.
Great defender,
so,
too.
Yeah, so maybe.
Did he shoot over 40% this year from behind the arc?
I thought he did.
That'd be good if he did, because obviously Lane Stevenson ain't going to space out the ball. He ain't going to space out anybody. He shot like 27% from three-point. So, you know, he's going to give you defense and he's going to give you some scoring here, but his main thing is defense and, you know, again, you know, basically keeping the identity of the team. So, you know, to make the team a much tougher team on the other side of the ball. So I think overall, I think the Lakers are going to be a very good team moving off the ball with the pick and roll.
Yeah, so I'm looking at it now. So he was basically a 40. He was 38% from behind three-pointers this year.
Pretty good.
He was 42% from the floor. He averaged 13 points a game. So, you know, with LeBron, things are a lot better. So, let me ask y'all this before we go talk about the Warriors. Let's say the roster stays what it is now. How do this team play? Like, does Rondo come off the bench? Does Lonzo come off the bench? And what type of dynamic do you see with either a Rondo and LeBron or a Lonzo and LeBron on the court at the same time with a Ingram and the Kuzma, you know, because Randall is gone, so you got JaVale McGee now and Brooke Lopez. They big men suck. And then you got Lance Stevens. He ain't a shooter, but he can play defense and stuff. So how y'all see if this team as it is goes out, you know, how y'all feel about the way those dynamics would play out?
That's That's interesting, man. I don't think that team is going to be a good team. I don't think they're going to be good at all. Outside of the fact that they have LeBron James to pretty much carry anybody to the playoffs. I don't think that team will be good because you got to think about the players who are around them. If you really sit down and think about their roster, man, Lonzo Ball last year didn't do much of nothing. I'm not a big fan of Lonzo Ball. I don't see the potential of Lonzo Ball. He didn't do much of nothing. Brandon Ingram took some steps last year. He did get a lot better. I give him that. I don't know how he's going to play with a player like LeBron James. That'll be interesting to see. Like I said, with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, he's just a run-in-the-middle player. Very great defender. Probably one of the better on-ball defenders in the league. So he's definitely going to bring some defense to the team. They're going to be a lot better defensively than they were with. He has a lot better defensive core about him than he did in Cleveland for the most part.
Definitely does.
But, like, as far as on-the-court play, I still think LeBron James is going to be ball dominant. And I'm pretty sure they'll have Lonzo coming off the bench, where they were talking about Lonzo last year, like he was the best thing to come through Los Angeles as Magic Johnson. I'm pretty sure they still feel that same way about him. So I guarantee you he's going to be the starting point guard, and they'll have Rondo coming off the bench. When playoff time comes and crunch time comes, they'll probably have Lonzo win the game. I mean, not Lonzo, but Rondo win the game.
Yeah.
But I think Lonzo will remain the starting point guard for that team.
Yeah, because Rondo definitely, and I said this on previous shows, Lonzo definitely did not live up to second-round pick talent. But he did give you 10, 10, and 10. So I'm not high on Lonzo, but I'm not mad at somebody giving me 10, 10, and 10. And if y'all hear in the background, like, you know, Negroes and 4th of July fireworks don't stop. So just hit the deck. Thank you for the gunshot. But, Lonzo will give you 10, 10, and 10. And that's, like, that's good. But that's not – but that 10 points and the way he played, to me, he didn't live up to that second-round pick stuff. So I get you on that. I'm not high on him, but I'm not low on him either. I see what Lonzo can do, but – I also see, and it's just me, it could just be me, I also see Ingram being a good second to third scoring option on this team if he stays for LeBron, because Ingram can get his own shot. So, and he can get his own shot a little better than Kuzma. Kuzma can as well, but Ingram can really get his own shot, and LeBron do need somebody else who can get their own shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
agree.
Yeah. I think that's a great point. I look overall at their team, man, and think that sometimes youth, you know, is very good to have, you know, even in the playoffs. I mean, you know, I was talking with Mike about this a while ago, and nobody's waiting their turn no more in the NBA. It used to be a rite of passage from, you know, obviously with the Pistons had to beat the, you know, Celtics and the Lakers, and then the Bulls had to beat the Pistons, and, you know, they had to beat the Lakers, and then, you know, so on and so on with all these other teams. And I think now in the NBA, when you look at the dynamics in the sense that most of these teams who are, you know, playoff bound or who are at the top of the NBA in the standings, they're fairly young teams. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, you want to surround your team with 20-year-olds and you think you're going to win an NBA championship. But, you know, having LeBron as the mentor for a lot of these guys, especially in playoff time, you know, could pay off huge dividends. And I think once it comes down to the crunch time, you know, LeBron, you know, is obviously going to have the ball. But, you know, I think these guys are, you know, just good enough to even get, you know, the Lakers to the Western Conference Finals. That's about the max. So I said fourth or fifth seed. That's fairly good in the West. So
that's great.
So
that's great coming from being 11th seed.
Yeah, so – I mean, I think Vegas has LA is the third best team in the NBA right now, behind Golden State and Houston. Boston. Yeah, I don't think I think Houston's fourth. Yeah. So.
But the Lakers got to do something about this $18 million Luau Deng. Well, and it's more than that, but Luau Deng getting $18 million this year. Luau Deng ain't that good no more.
Yeah.
Because his contract is difficult to get off, because who want to take that?
Nobody wants to take that. But before y'all, before we move to the next segment, I just want to go back to Lonzo Ball. Now, I think what's happened is that his dad has wrote some checks that he couldn't cash. And the thing is that him being a second overall pick, you have high expectations, right? So Jason Tatum, who's obviously looking like the future for Boston and a future superstar in the league, you know, you're comparing that guy. But then, you know, the number one pick with Markelle Fultz, he hasn't done nothing for Philly. He's trade bait. So, I mean, I think what he's done so far is good. You know, obviously his expectations are going to grow this year because he has LeBron and people are going to expect him to play better throughout the season. But, you know, when people compare him to Magic, we already knew that was an unrealistic comparison because it's nobody like Magic. But to compare him to, like, somebody like a Jason Kidd, who was a top, you know, a lottery pick, who pretty much had the same stats as Lonzo, you know, I guarantee that over a period of time, Lonzo is going to grow into a better player. He's going to have to chill out on those childish things that he was doing him and Kyle Kuzma. But I think overall that Lonzo Ball is going to be a fairly good NBA player. I think he's going to be a star. I don't know if he's going to be a superstar, but being a number two pick, they want you to be a superstar. So it's yet to be determined. But I think, you know, with LeBron being there, he might be able to become a superstar if he can get the toolages and learning things. The things that he need to learn from LeBron to become the best player that he can possibly be in the NBA at his position. So,
And remember, Gary Payton for like his first 2 years averaged around 8 or 9 points a game as a number two pick.
That's true.
So,
man,
but now
trash me, y'all boys tripping, man.
Hey man,
I'm
putting like this with Lonzo with the way LeVar be writing them shit. I'm not even mad at somebody who. Now, I ain't gonna lie. I like people who talk cash shit like that, so I ain't gonna lie. But I'm not mad at somebody who don't see Lonzo or the whole Ball family or something. I ain't mad at you because I understand. But it's like I do think long term Lonzo will be a good player. He won't be great, but he'll be a good player. But I do think that LeVar Ball is crazy as hell when he say that Lonzo is going to teach LeBron how to make other players better. He crazy as hell when he's saying that. But we're going to come back to the Ball family. We're going to come back to them because I got a whole section in this for them. So like I said, after we found out about LeBron, we found out that DeMarcus Cousins went to Golden State. Now, I was looking at SportsCenter today, and two things that they were saying about this DeMarcus Cousins move. One, that the Lakers didn't move on it, that the Lakers didn't get DeMarcus Cousins, which was projected, which was like a speculation that the Lakers would get Cousins. And then, according to Nick Wright via the Colin Cowherd show, Anthony Davis didn't want Boogie Cousins back in the Pelicans locker room. So I just saw that like 30 minutes. That was just 30 minutes ago. Nick Wright was saying that. So what are you guys' thoughts about first DeMarcus Cousins joining the Warriors and then thoughts about the Lakers passing him up and Anthony Davis not wanting him back into the locker room?
He basically said he had been floating around is that he didn't get any offers. Is what we're trying to say that he didn't get any offers. Is the reason why he decided to sign with Golden State.
The government got
him. Yeah, the government just got you. he's celebrating the fourth, man.
Man, anyway, my bad, y'all. But, yeah, man, so he said he didn't get any offers or whatever. I don't believe that. I'm pretty sure he had some offers out there for him. He just took whatever he thought was best for him. Going to Golden State is a low-risk move for him because he doesn't really have to go out there and expect to be anything right now. Let's say Achilles for him, especially for a man of his size, is a 12- to 15-month rehab time or whatnot. So we probably won't see Boogie again, man, until maybe January. You know what I'm saying? Right. If everything gets back, then once he does get back on the court, you got to get back in shape. You got to get playing the gym. A lot of things you got to do in order to get back to NBA readiness or whatever. So him taking that deal I think, was the best thing for him. I don't believe that he did not get any offers. Now, honestly, I don't think him going to the Warriors, I don't think it's going to have as much of an impact as everybody thinks it is.
I think
the season over for me, especially if DeMarcus Cousins, to me, if he's just 70% of what he was coming back around January, and then because he's going to get better. To me, he's in a situation where, like you said, he don't have to rush nothing. Like, your team don't need you. And see, to me, that's another mindset coming in when you know damn well that at the end of the day, your team do not need you. We can cut you right now, and we still will probably sweep the finals. So we don't need you. So you better check your attitude because you can leave right now. And then we can slowly work you back into the lineup. We have time to get you in shape. But if you come back at least 70 to 80% of what you was on this team, it's over. That's just me. That's just how I feel.
Yeah, I mean, that's y'all made some valid points. I think, you know, obviously with JaVale McGee going to the Lakers and DeMarcus Cousins going to Golden State, that was a upgrade, regardless on what the DeMarcus Cousins injury is right now, because DeMarcus Cousins is better than JaVale McGee, in my opinion, right now with his Achilles tear. But
right.
Whoa. Yeah, come on, bro. You just JaVale, man. Yeah,
first Shaq, come on, man. You just raised JaVale. It is what it is.
Come JaVale, bro. JaVale get buckets, man. He not great. You know what I'm saying? People just look at him for the foolishness, man. He doing the court level. That dude, he not a bad player, bro. He athletic and he tall. That's what matters in the NBA right now.
Now, he do have a rat tail, though.
Yeah, he do. Yeah, that right there is disrespectful to himself.
Did DeMarcus Cousins have one, two at one point?
We're not talking about DeMarcus Cousins. We're talking about JaVale McGee.
Nobody said the same thing, bro.
I don't remember that, but he probably did.
Yeah, I saw this dude walking down Orange Avenue the other day. Dude had a single lock rat tail that went all the way down mid-back. Like, I was like, ooh. I didn't know they did that.
I didn't know they did that either, bro. That's somebody you don't go up there and you don't walk up and talk to. Because, you don't mess with him, man. You know he's going to be a straight fade.
Yeah.
He definitely going to match your heart out.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, all jokes aside, I mean, DeMarcus Cousins, man, is obviously an upgrade for Golden State once he gets healthy. 70 to 80%. Once he's healthy, it's going to be great. And like Mike was saying, you know, it's going to take him a while to rehab. I don't see him back to Golden State till February. And once he gets back, you know, he's going to sit on the sideline. He's going to learn from the guys. He's going to be working out. He's not going to be in basketball shape as far as playing, but he's going to be conditioning himself to be ready for the playoffs. I think the biggest thing that I looked at is that a guy of his, you know, of his magnitude, an all-star, five-time all-star, you know, didn't get any calls because of, you know, of his reputation that preceded him. And, you know, like you said, Anthony Davis, you know, didn't want him back in the locker room. And then he had a bad relationship with Sacramento and Vlade Divac. And, you know, even in college, you know, people, you know, felt that he was a cancer in the locker room. But the biggest thing to me is that, you know, it's nine significant NBA players over the last 30 years, in my opinion, who has that injury. And we can name two of them that we can talk about, Kobe Bryant, and we can talk about Dominique Wilkins. Kobe got his towards the end of his career, right? But Dominique kind of got it mid-between. But Dominique actually came back. He played great. I mean, Dominique came back from that, a high flyer like him. I mean, his jump shot got a lot better. Sometimes I compare Dominique to Tracy McGrady in one way, because people looked at Kobe Bryant as Jordan and, you know, Tracy McGrady, they thought was the best player, but same thing with Dominique and Jordan. Dominique never got to shine like Jordan, but Dominique was a great basketball player. And, you know, he lost a lot of his lift, but he developed his jump shot. He still became a good, savvy player in Boston. He was giving people 20 points a game, and this was after his Achilles tear. So he actually came back, and he played to his standards once he came back from that injury. A big man, you know, he doesn't have that much lift anyway. Don't know how he's going to come back, but I hope he does come back stronger and better. But I think overall, this is a business move. At first, I was thinking like, oh, man, you know, why he going there, man? I was calling him a hypocrite because I like he was talking about Durant and why he went to Golden State and how it looked weird. But now I understand the power move that he made. And if it's true that nobody called him and he had to pick up the phone and call Golden State, then I understand what he had to do so he can get himself in the best possible condition so he can be ready to hit the free agent market next year because he wants a super max, obviously.
Right.
He's not going to get the touches he's going to get. He's not going to get the ball like he's going to he would have got in New Orleans. So you might see a guy who gets 12, 13 points. But I think what people are looking at is how well he's going to rehab from the injury and has his attitude change. Yeah. So I think those are the biggest things for him.
But just thinking about what you just said, if Cousins give them 12 points, that's at least 3 to 4 people a game that's averaging double figures.
Yeah.
That's scary.
That,
And it's like, He don't like this team can be like, all right, is what day it is Wednesday? Okay, you get 30 tonight. Okay, Thursday, you get 30. Like they could just trade off who gonna get 30 that night. You know, with the exception of Draymond can't get his like that. But
no.
With the exception outside of Draymond, because like Cousins averaged 27 and 12 already just healthy. So we know he can ball. We know what he brings to the table. This is just to see if he can stop being a dick. And be something more than that. This is what this is. But it's like that's what this 5.3 mil one year contract that he got. So
the player's minimum, right? The veteran's minimum or something like that.
Well, no, that's
a little bit more than that.
Yeah, that's a mid-level exception.
Mid-level exception.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man, that's amazing, man. Sheesh. Just to get rehab and get paid 5.3.
Now tell me if y'all heard this. Did the Warriors pick up Green from I think Jeff Green from Cleveland? Did they pick him up? I thought I heard that on Sportsman last night.
Oh no, man,
Jeff Green signed with the Wizards.
Okay, signed with the Wizards.
Oh, so he going back home. He going back home to Washington.
Yeah, him and Dwight Howard signed with the Wizards.
Right.
They got Jeff Green for I think like 2.5 mil, 2 mil, something like that.
Okay.
What about Jamal Crawford? I heard he was going to talk about going to Golden State.
I don't know yet.
Okay.
Jamal, he's still on the table right now. Jamal Crawford's still on the table. Tyreke Evans signed with the Pacers. I think he agreed to sign. I don't know if he signed. I don't think anybody can sign yet, but he agreed to sign with the Pacers.
Tonight.
Yeah, and that was, I think, 1 year for $12 million for Tyreke Evans.
Okay. You said Tyreke signed with the Pacers?
Yeah, the Pacers. He went to the Pacers.
Okay. And so let me ask y'all, because we're transitioning into our free agency talk. So Kemba Walker, they were talking about Kemba Walker maybe coming to the Lakers from the Hornets. So, and Mike, I know you don't like Lonzo, but would you really make that trade to give up Lonzo for Kemba right now?
If he was player for player, hell yeah. Why not? Kemba Walker, I think Kemba Walker's he doesn't have much upside left. We're pretty much getting the best of Kemba Walker right now. You banking on – that's one of the things with young players, man. It's always dangerous, man, because you're banking on what they possibly can be versus looking at somebody who's already there. Like, we know what Kemba Walker is. We know he's capable of. You hoping – Lonzo Ball gets to a Kemba Walker level. Now, true, Lonzo is younger. He may end up being better than Kemba Walker. I doubt it, but he may end up being better than Kemba Walker. But if it was just person for person, I would definitely get Kemba Walker over Lonzo Ball right now. It's a great trade. But they still got too many point guards, though.
Kemba gave you 21 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds. And in his career, he averaged 18, 5, and 3 for his career. Because I know Kemba can play, but we like Kemba get lost in the sauce a lot. Probably one because he's playing Charlotte, but when I'm thinking about the best guards and point guards in the league, Kemba don't necessarily come to mind that much for me. So that's why I was questioning whether I would really give up, because Lonzo is 10-10-10. So let's say if Lonzo improves and he can give me 10 more points, 20-10-10, that's better than what Tyreek gives me in his eighth year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't do it. You know, it's rare that a small guard can be the focal point of your team. You know, we had Isaiah Thomas, and, you know, Kyrie was he was the focal point of Cleveland before LeBron got there, but they never won anything. But Isaiah and Allen Iverson are the two guards that come to mind that was the focal point of their team, and they actually won. Now, Kimball going to L.A. won't be the focal point, but this is what I look like. I understand what Mike was saying and the fact that, you know, you gotta be cautioned, because if the guy's already there and you're looking for a young guy to get there, you might look at it and say, that's an easy trade. But to me, with Lonzo, is that it's more than just scoring to me. Like you said, using 10-10-10, you know, it's his size that you can switch him off the ball with certain players on the court.
He can play 1-2-3.
Yeah, so those things are more valuable to me as a basketball, if I was a basketball coach or a GM, because I want to have versatility with the players I have. Kimball was great. He's a great scorer, but defense, nah. But he's a great scorer, and he's going to give you that. And that's what you really want when you're going against teams like Golden State and Houston. But what we have noticed lately in these finals, and even these Western Conference and Eastern Conference finals, towards the end of these games, defense matters the most. And you got to have guys who will be able to switch and guard these players in key, crucial moments. And I don't think Kimball is one of those guys that you know, and he hasn't been playoff tested. And that's overrated to me in a lot of ways. But still, I still don't trust his defense when it's crucial time in the playoffs. And to me, that's more valuable to me, because I'm a Bulls fan. And I watched the Bulls play the Knicks, you know, when it was 90-80. That's the most you're going to get. The Bulls against the Pacers, the Bulls against obviously the Pistons, and so on and so on, and the Miami Heat. You know, those games were defensive battles, and basketball isn't played that way. It's more spaced out, and we got more point fours and heck, you know, point centers now. So, you know, it's crazy the way the landscape of basketball is, but I still think, to the essence of it, you still got to have people that you can trust on the court that can play those, you know, play at least 1-3 that can give you the ability to interchange themselves when they need to guard other people.
Okay. Now, I have to ask this question because I don't want to forget to ask this one, because speaking of people who can guard 1-3, Kawhi Leonard. So where I want to start with Kawhi is, do y'all think Kawhi is justified or he's soft for sitting out last year over a quad bruise? What y'all think?
Before we go to Kimba, I mean, not Kimba, but Kawhi, Cam, you're hating on Kimba Walker, bro. It's unnecessary. You're hating on Kimba Walker, bro. Lonzo Ball is a terrible defender, man. Look at Lonzo Ball a little bit taller than Kimba Walker. Don't look at it like Kimba Walker not a great defender. Kimba Walker is a great on-ball defender. He undersized, but he's a great on-ball defender. Lonzo Ball, terrible defender, bro. We all know that. We all seen it, man. But
I think you hating on Lonzo. I ain't hating on Kimba. It's just a matter of preference. I like Chris Stiles. You like malt liquor. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, I mean, it's just a matter of taste.
I see you, man, but you can't, come on, Cam, bro. You can't base. I think again, caught up in Kimba Walker height, man. He's a small guard, but he's a great on-ball defender, man. You got to give him a respect with respect to that, bro. Because this guy's a little bit taller. He's a terrible on-ball defender. He's horrible at defense, man.
Neither one is known for their defense. So we've purely talked about offensive stats with both players.
Yeah, if you're looking for the intermediate change, you know, the success, you want to get Kimba. But like I said, man, you don't want to give up too early on your second pick for your franchise. I mean, that tells me more about your franchise than the actual player, you know, especially a franchise like L.A. Say that again?
It was ready to give up on Brandon Ingram. What's the difference?
Well, you know, that tells me more about L.A. I mean, that tells me L.A. is looking for instant gratitude, man. And that's not good, man. Sometimes you got to let that stuff, you know, listen. Golden State didn't become Golden State until, what, Steph Curry's 6 or 7 years? And at one point, people wanted Curry gone and wanted to keep Monte Ellis. People forget about that. So when Clay came, you know, and they added Draymond, and they got Iggy, and they start adding more players like Sean Livingston and stuff. It starts to take form. I think the NBA, in a lot of ways, is, especially certain franchises like LA, who wants to be on the top of the NBA because they're, you know, a historic franchise. They're not wanting to wait. So that's what's going to cause a lot of. It's going to cause a lot of you know ping ponging around the organization because they're not willing to sacrifice what's for the now in order to get where they need to go for later. So yeah, you're going to lose a lot of games. Your players are not going to be as good as you want them to be because they're still learning how to play the game. But give it time; they'll get up there.
Yeah, right. But it's always a gamble with that, man. When you look at those types of situations, man, because Steph Curry was a. People were that happened to work out for Golden State. But Golden State didn't have a lot of options either for guys who really wanted to trade. Because nobody wanted Steph Curry because he was always hurt. So it wasn't like he could really dish him off to somebody else and try to get something back in return for him, just banking on him, his potential. A lot of teams, man, you got to know when to cut your losses, man. I'm not saying they need to cut your losses with Lonzo Ball, but it's like a tightrope. You can't just be like, I'm 100% going to stay with him because he's my second pick. Sometimes dudes just ain't as good as they think they are, or as the team thought they were. You got to cut them losses and keep it moving, man.
That's true. I just don't think it's time. Julius Randle, he had a great year last year. You know, obviously the Lakers didn't pick him up. You know, Brandon Ingram, you know, had a good year. I think sometimes it's a double-edged sword. Sometimes you cut your losses too early, and sometimes you know.
Sometimes they hold on too long.
Right. So it can work out. It can work out both ways, man. It's hard. I mean, sometimes you're not going to get a LeBron James, a surefire Hall of Famer, number one draft pick. You're going to get a Michael Oliver Candy. So you're not going to get a Shaquille O'Neal. You're going to get a Sean Bradley. So the exception to the rule, you're going to get Michael Jordan with the third pick, but you're going to have Sam Bowie, who was a great player, but who's injury prone. So all these things are risk. But at the end of the day, what you have to do as a franchise is you have to give yourself at least bare minimum a 3 to 4 year window to see how these players are going to gel and play together. Because if you're constantly just switching and moving players, you're not going to be able to get that cohesiveness that you want with your team. And especially if you're drafting high, then we know one franchise that's been drafting high for a long time is Cleveland. And they never could get it right because their organization has been historically horrible. Exactly. So if LeBron wasn't from Akron and he wasn't, you know, from that area, you know, he would not be playing for Cleveland. You know, as soon as his contract ended with Cleveland and he went to Miami, he would never see Cleveland again. But, you know, he made that promise to get Cleveland a championship. So Cleveland lucked out in the LeBron James sweepstakes because he's from Akron. But man, Cleveland is a horrible organization, but somebody like L.A., people who want to play for L.A., that you got young pieces, give it time. Kawhi, even you're not going to get Kawhi this year. You might get him next year. So keep those young pieces before you get rid of them too early.
I would. Speaking of Kawhi, if I'm L.A., I probably would wait till next year when Kawhi is a free agent. So I don't have to give up as much for Kawhi. But I know San Antonio was going to trade him to someone because they even talk now about Kawhi going to Philadelphia now or being traded to Philly now. But it's like – but before we go into that, like the original question, like Kawhi Leonard had a bruised back this year. I think the year before, 2 years before, Tony Parker had he tore his quad, completely tore the quad in his 30s, and Tony Parker was able to heal from his injury and come back and contribute to his team. Kawhi Leonard had a bruised thigh and sat out all regular season and all the playoffs. Like I say, y'all think he's soft for that or that's justified?
It's a couple things you got to consider when you look at it, something like that. now that we got more information about his situation, we can pretty much deduce that he was sitting out because he didn't really want to play with San Antonio no more, which I think going off that, is a terrible idea, you know what I mean? Because you're messing up your trade value. If you really blame it on your injury, then people will start wondering if you're 100% healthy or how bad is the actual injury. Now, with Tony Parker, it's a good comparison because they did have the same injury that Tony Parker came back, but Tony Parker has less basketball life to worry about. You know what I mean? Tony Parker still be a little sore, still not feel 100% right to go out and play because Tony Parker's in his 30s now. He's had a great long career. So, you know, if I play with a little sore quad, I'm good to go versus Kawhi Leonard. If he himself, what he has said, or his camp has said, he never really said anything, but his camp has said that he wasn't feeling 100%, you know, even though they said it was clear to play, then that's a decision on him because he has to look at his entire basketball future. The Spurs care about Kawhi Leonard because he's, you know, the player on the team right now, but when it comes down to it, they don't really care about Kawhi Leonard. You get what I'm saying? Like, they want him to do as much playing as they can for the organization versus looking out for his long-term career. That's not their goal. Their goal is what can he do right now for us, not what the future is looking like for Kawhi Leonard. So if he really felt like he wasn't 100%, then I don't blame him for sitting out. I mean, that's his right. You know, the team can say you clear, but if you yourself, as an athlete, are saying, I can make it out here and play, then, you know, it is what it is.
What about you?
Yeah. That's tough, man. I'm a huge Kawhi fan now, man. At first, you know, one of my homeboys was saying, you know, was one of his favorite players, man. He thinks he's going to be the future, and I just didn't see it. You know, I was like, what? You know, but gradually, you know, that guy has grown on me, and I think he's definitely one of the best players in the NBA, top 10. At one point, you know, he was top 5. He got to work himself back into that top 5 conversation. I think when people make decisions like that, you know, for themselves, I'm never mad at it because I look at it and say, well, you got to bet on yourself, man. So whatever you feel, you know your body. If you feel your body is not to the standards that you want it to be, then so be it. You know, everybody deals with injuries a lot different than, you know, a lot differently. So I think the biggest thing for me, at least, you know, as a competitor, is that I hate to feel like I'm able to play and I don't go out there and help my teammates. So when I look at it from that perspective, I say, man, don't you want to be out there with your teammates at least, you know, helping them to get to a, you know, to get further into the NBA playoffs and possibly win a championship and, you know, just to be out there, just to play the game. But as the NBA always, you know, tells us, it's a business at the end of the day. So if he did rush out there to play, you know, sooner than he should have, and he got injured worse, then man, he would have been trade bait and his value would have went down. So I think he made the best possible decision for himself. So at the end of the day, I'm not mad at him.
Yeah. Now I'm not mad at him. I think professional athletes need to have more of a mercenary mindset and stop being so in love with these organizations. I think the love and the camaraderie and the thing that makes you want to win and collaborate is the team. Like, have love for the team that you are on at the moment, but understand that it's a business, and they will cut you. Now, I'm not mad at Kawhi for sitting out as far as business purposes and things. I'm not that. Now, the football player in me is saying he's soft as hell because, I mean, it's just a bruised thigh. I mean, so the football player, I mean, like, shit, we play with bruised thighs. Football players play with bruised thighs on a regular basis. So It's just that. Now, I'm not mad at Kawhi, though. I do want to say that. I'm not mad at Kawhi for sitting out and thinking about himself long term because he just saw what happened with Isaiah Thomas. And Isaiah Thomas losing out on his $130-something million. And so Kawhi would potentially do the same thing. And so I think the Lakers, if I'm the Lakers, I'm like, I'm not giving up this much for Kawhi that y'all want, because they want, like, they want Ingram, Hart, I think they said Ingram, Hart, and Kuzma, plus two picks, plus two other picks from some other thing. You know, from what I was told, Magic Johnson has already said that Kyle Kuzma was off limits as far as for trade bait and stuff. But it's a sticky situation. I'm not mad at Kawhi, but I do know the football player in me, like, hey, man, it's just a bruised thigh. But, man, you got to make sure that your body is right, and if it ain't right, it ain't right.
That's what it boils down to.
Yeah, that's the difficult part about it is, man. I highly doubt, like I said, looking at it now, looking back on everything, I highly doubt that the bruised thigh was the reason he wasn't playing, was because he didn't want to play for the Spurs anymore. But you can't just openly come out and say, I don't want to play for the Spurs no more. So I think he hit behind an injury, which was a smart thing to do because he has a contractual, you know, obligation to play basketball. You can't just say, I don't want to play no more. You know what I mean? Then you go into, you know, litigation with the Spurs trying to get the money back from you, vice versa. But, you know, if you're an athlete and, you know, you don't feel like you want to play, then it's always a good excuse to get you out of playing for a team you don't want to play for. But it also hurts your value.
You're talking about bruised thigh, man. I done played football with turf toe, strained groin, bruised up shoulders. I done been knocked unconscious, had to come back up. And it's, things didn't happen on that football field, so. It's just when
Rickens
I come
did,
from
Rickens
that.
Did that to you, man. Rickens did that to you, man.
Man, you remember, the first week of pads, we hit all day.
Oh my God!
I go in the mirror and I look at my shoulders. Do not look the same. My shoulders are two different sizes. Like one shoulder, it sits different than the other. Like I still, man, my toes still ain't right. My back, something in my back still ain't right. My shoulder still ain't right.
Oh man,
we play. Hey man, it was a grind. So I do understand when people come from that. But just like I said, for me coming from that world, I see the thigh injury as soft. But it's bigger than that though. So I'm not even gonna stick on that.
Yeah.
He, in his defense, man, bruised thighs do hurt.
yeah, they do.
You can play through it. That'd be a hurt though, but I ain't gonna sit back and get no hurt now.
Right. So, all right. So, what y'all think about Paul George going back to the Thunder? Like, is that? I mean, cause shit, they got put out. They was the fifth seed last year. They got put out by the Jazz in the first round, led by Donovan Mitchell. So, what do y'all think about Paul George staying with the Thunder? You think he should have stayed with the Thunder? You know, they got the LA drama, and how y'all think the Thunder may do this year?
Yeah, he made the right decision. He's scared of LA.
Shout out Donovan Mitchell too.
Oh man, yeah, shout out. Yeah, but he's scared of LA, man. He didn't want to go to LA. He didn't want that attention with LeBron, man. People got to understand when you play with LeBron, it comes with a different type of attention. And people, Paul George from LA, and people talk about, you know, him going to LA, going back home. He didn't want that. He didn't want the extra pressure, man. He's a second player to a superstar. But I don't know if he would have been that great in that role, man. I'll be honest with you. I think LA would be too big for him. And I think the Thunder's gonna have a good season. They still need a couple of more pieces, because them to lose to Utah like that in the fashion they did, they're not all the way there, man. And a lot of people are questioning Billy Donovan's coaching. And saying that, you know, he might not be an NBA coach. So they got a lot of unknowns with their team. And with Melo, you know, being on their team and not really providing them what they thought he could provide them, I don't see them more than better than definitely a fifth or sixth seed, in my opinion, again. But, Paul George, he was just scared, man. And I know when people are scared. I can see this. One thing I can tell, and I've been there too. When you scared, you scared. And when the Lakers is one of those organizations that when they come, when that opportunity comes for any player, you're gonna listen, especially a dude from LA. And him to side with Oklahoma City, which obviously he got, you know, his max deal with them, and he was gonna get more money with Oklahoma City. But to go to LA to be a superstar, to be in those big bright lights,
is only meant for certain players. Kobe, Shaq, LeBron now, Magic, you know, Kareem. He would have been thrust into that role. Huh?
You got to be special to know how to tune certain things and put on those certain stages. So.
Yeah, he's been used to smaller market cities, Indiana, Oklahoma City. It makes sense to me that he stayed in Oklahoma City. I think it was better for him. He's not going to be under much scrutiny, and he's not going to have the pressure to deliver that he would have had to deliver in L.A. compared to Oklahoma City, because people are going to look at Westbrook and say, man, you play with Westbrook, we'll give you a pass, we'll give you a pass. But when you play with somebody like LeBron, people expect you to get better and better and better, because he's one of the guys who's going to distribute the ball, he's going to make sure you're involved in the game, and heck, he's going to defer to you in the crunch moment. I don't think that Paul George was wanting that pressure.
Yeah. Let me see what the problem is, man. I can see exactly what Paul George. But let me go ahead and sum it up for y'all right now, man. It's gonna make everything a lot clearer for you once I tell y'all this, man. Paul George, two things. One, Paul George is not as good as he thinks he is, and Paul George is not as good as we thought he was. Think about that for a second, man. Paul George is not that guy, man. He's not a terrible player. I'm not going to sit up there and hate him by any means. But Paul George is not that good of a player, man. We've seen the evidence when Victor Oladipo went to Indiana. A worse team, and he did better than what Paul George did with a worse team as far as the overall gameplay. Now, he had more pieces around him when they went, you know, they were going up against Cleveland and everything back in the day with David West and a prime time Lance Stephenson and that, you know, that crew or whatever. But looking at the actual stats, man, Paul George is not that good. He's not terrible. He's not that good of a player, man. So I think he took that deal in Oklahoma City to stay because he knew his value wasn't going to be as much in L.A. And a lot of it has to do with what Cam said, too. He would have been – you go to L.A., they expect you to be a star. They expect you to be the man. They expect winning when you come to L.A. Paul George couldn't handle that, man, because he's not that good. He's not as good of a player as he thinks he is. Paul George filmed a documentary this offseason about his decision – to go back to Oklahoma City. Who cares? Like his value is he thinks he's more important or more valuable than he really is. Who would watch a Paul George documentary about his decision? Nobody cares about that. Who cares?
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So ain't nothing wrong with valuing yourself high. Yeah, ain't nothing wrong with placing high value on yourself. I totally get it, man. But Paul George is not as good as he thinks he is, and he's not as good as we thought he was.
Oklahoma City overall frustrates the hell out of me because it's not like they don't have the talent. First of all, Carmelo needs to get his ass off his shoulders because, I've defended Carmelo for over 10 years. So I'm just saying, Carmelo.
How did that work out for you, man?
Hey, man. I never do it again. That's why I'm finna go in on his ass. It's like, bro, like, there's no way that Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and LeBron James' careers are that much better than yours. Like, Carmelo basically decided that I'm just going to score. That's it. I'm just going to be known as a scorer. Because, like, now, he can still get a shot in certain things, in certain places, but if he can't score, he's useless. So, for Oklahoma City, Carmelo needs to be coming off the bench. And he already told me, I ain't coming off the bench. You can't guard nobody. Like my mother has better lateral movement than Carmelo right now. And her knee pops out of place every other day. She in her 60s. She got blood clots, her knee be popping out. And she got better lateral movement than Carmelo, right? And so that's one thing that frustrates me. But coaching Billy Donovan – I don't like to call for people jobs, so I'm not gonna do that. But I will say, what they got going on ain't working. It ain't working. And it's like Russell Westbrook, he has to get to a point to where he learned to trust his teammates in some instances. You got to start making your teammates better. Paul George is missing something, like. Skip Bayless, and I don't like Skip Bayless. Skip Bayless calls him the George Paul or the poor man's LeBron. I think Skip Bayless is a bitch anyway. He needs to stop calling people names because as soon as somebody called him a name, he act like a little bitch anyway. But still,
I like Jalen Rose.
Right, right. But it's like the Thunder have the talent, But they still are missing something, because there's no way you should have been put out in the first round by that Utah team. Like, there's no way that should have happened. So the Thunder just, they frustrate the hell out of me, because I feel like they could be so much better. And I know they were saying they lost, I forgot the player's name, he was their best defensive player. And, of course, if you lose your best defensive player, your defensive efficiency overall will go down. But as a team, they
got
to play something like that.
No, I want Cephalosha, Cam. It's the other dude, man.
No, yeah, not Cephalosha. He got a regular name. I forgot.
Yeah, it's like Andre something. I forgot his last name.
Something like that, yeah. But,
okay. I thought Cephalosha was down, too.
Cephalosha,
no, yeah, that was a couple years ago, though.
Come on, man. Guess what? That was 15.
I thought he played for the Thunder, but he's not there no more. Yeah, he's been going for years, bro. Cephalosha? Yeah. That's all gone, because, you know, after he broke his leg. No, I'm not him. Robinson. I'm thinking, yeah. Isn't that Robinson? Yeah. Okay, my bad. It's the 4th of July,
man.
Some fireworks outside there. They're shooting guns. You know, snakes in my yard, man. I look in the backyard. My baby said, "What is that?" I don't know. She said, "Look like a snake shed. Snake skin shed." I'm like, "Oh my goodness!" Found a dead oak snake in my driveway. I'm like, "Man, I gotta move."
You're too close to the water, cuz. Get away from that water, man.
I'm about to get away. I'm about to get away, bro.
And what y'all?
So I'm sorry, Joe.
Nah, you good, man. You good. What y'all think about Julius Randle going to the Pelicans, man? Y'all like that move or not?
Yeah, I think it was a good move for the Pelicans. I don't believe that whole thing. I forgot to mention comment on the earlier when you were talking about the whole Anthony Davis not wanting the Marcus Cousins back in the locker room. I don't know about that one, man. I don't know who came up with the report, but that just doesn't sound right coming from Anthony Davis.
Nick Wright reported it. Nick Wright from First Thing First. Nick Wright reported it on Colin Cowherd's show.
Nick Wright, the LeBron lover?
Man, Nick Wright a bitch too. Like you don't have to. He is, man. You don't have to. You can love LeBron, but you don't have to try to. You don't have to try to drag Kobe name through the mud. I got a problem with a lot of these white sports analysts, because especially the ones like Nick Wright and Skip Bayless and Max Kellerman who try to come off like they down with the people and down with the culture, but they not really.
Max did have a rap video now.
exactly. But it's like, but you know, when you let a person talk, a lot of stuff come out. And you don't have, they do a lot of trash in the people from our community, our black athletes. And that's one of the reasons why I had to start this show, because I got tired of screaming at the TV, and I'm like, okay, let me just do a podcast about it, because it's one thing to have an affinity for one player, but it's another thing to trash another player because you like LeBron. Sure. So that's one thing I got a problem with Nick Wright, is you don't have to trash Kobe to say that LeBron, because no matter what you say, LeBron still got to pass Kobe. Now, in my mind, LeBron ain't passed Kobe yet to get to that level. Yes, LeBron been doing some great things, but Kobe was a bad dude. So
okay, I feel you. I think LeBron's passed him, but that's just me. But I Skip Bayless sometimes he goes a little bit too far with that Chris Bosh thing. Him and Russell Westbrook, and for a minute he was going at KD, but now he's on KD's side because he's going at LeBron, and he always be going at the LeBron, you know, as far as his, you know, basketball, you know, skills and stuff like that. But I can see where you're coming from, Nick Wright. I don't see that as much from him. Maybe I'm not seeing him say it, but I don't see that from him. And Max Kellerman, I like Max.
I agree. I like Max too.
But I said on my last show, Max is not as egregious, or Max don't do it as much as those other dudes. But Nick Wright is Nick Wright, like this dude RB the Breakthrough on YouTube. I just came across a video. Dude made a whole video on how Nick Wright be hating on Kobe. So
yeah, he does hate on Kobe, and I don't like that. You know, I agree with that. He hates on Kobe hard.
Right. So, but Nick Wright, the one that said that Anthony Davis didn't want Boogie Cousins in the Pelicans locker room no more. So I don't know how credible that story is, but that's what Nick Wright was reporting.
Well, to go back to your commentator, I tell you who I don't like. I don't like Jason Whitlock at
all.
Nobody
like him. And he don't like himself.
He don't. I just.
Oh, man. Any man, look how big he is. No man who like themselves will carry themselves like that, man.
Nah, man. Yeah, and that's a fact. Every time that man has a chance to go after some black athlete, he crushes them. I'm like, I said, man, you got to be fair and balanced. What is we doing when every single time, this man literally said, I'm talking about screaming at the TV. This man said, I don't like LeBron taking advantage of the NBA and moving to different places. I said, what? It wasn't those exact words, but that's how he put it. Basically, he got mad at LeBron because he's in a power position like the owners, and they're taking control of their destiny. I said, you got to be kidding me. I remember Captain Jack was on the show, and Captain Jack looked at him like he was crazy. Steven Jackson, by the way, looked at him like he was crazy. I'm like, you can't be real for what you just said. You just said that you don't want players to take control of their destiny. You got to be kidding me, man. That dude is
that like a Sambo.
Yeah, if anybody's in that category, he's in that category. He's in that Sambo Coon category.
Jason Whitlock hates black people so much, this fool will walk by the mirror, see his own reflection, and call the police. That's how much he hates.
The thing is, for me, you got to be balanced, man. If you're going to say it by one, say it by all. You can't be one way, man. And he seems to be one way when it comes to a lot of black athletes. And I don't like it, man. I don't like it. So, but yeah, man, I'm sorry. I know we got off track a little bit, you know, talking about snakes and Jason Whitlock.
That's why I'll be at with him.
I feel you. Man, if anybody feel you, I feel you. And trust me, I keep that same energy if I met him. Once we meet him, I'm going to tell him straight out, I say, man, I'll be honest with you. I don't like the way you move. I don't like the things you be saying about folks, man. And I'm going to keep it straight 100 with you. Because you can't be around somebody, man, and next thing you know, yeah, man, it's great to meet you. Man, forget that.
Nope.
Man, I don't like you. I don't like, well, I don't know him to dislike him. But I tell you, I don't like the things he be saying, and especially right. about black athletes and how he go about disrespecting a lot of black athletes and the power moves that they be making in sports. I just don't like it.
Right, nah. But I was talking about the I'm with you on that because when you're in a position where you have a voice and you choose to be a sellout, then we can't rock with you though. So I'm with you on that. But it's like we're talking about Julius Randle, like Julius Randle signed to the Pelicans, and of course, you know, the Julius Randle signing happened before Boogie Cousins went to the Warriors. So what y'all think about all that, and do you think the Lakers lost out on a good player?
They lost Julius Randle. Go ahead,
yeah, man. Julius Randle coming into his own. I give him that. You know what I'm saying? He's coming up to the point now, man, where he's starting to look at him more like, okay, I see what he's doing. But it was a little time period that was like, what's going on with Julius Randle? You know what I mean? Like, why wasn't he producing as much as they thought he would have produced or whatever? I think it was a good move for the Pelicans. Yeah, I would say it was a bad move for the Lakers. I think right now he's probably there. I would say third best player. You got LeBron. I'm going to have to get Kuzma number two. And then I get Julius Randle number three for the Lakers' best player. So they pretty much lost their best player. Second best player. So I think it was a bad move on their behalf, but good move for the Pelicans.
Yeah.
And Julius Randle got a sore arm, too. That's why he don't get a lot of rebounds. Remember that.
Yeah.
Look at him. Yeah. Like,
but I do think it's a good move for the Pelicans. He's not Boogie Cousins, but that's a good move.
It's a great move for the Pelicans, man. I think they got I love their team, man, with Jrue Holiday. And, you know, I did like what Rajon Rondo was on that team, obviously with Anthony Davis and a couple
that's
other
a
pieces.
That's a big loss for them, though, that Rondo loss. That's a big loss.
Yeah, that's a huge loss in my opinion, man, because Rondo, you know, I'm a Chicago Bulls fan, and nobody wants to go play for Chicago. I don't hear no free agents talking about going to the city of Chicago. We got Michael Jordan there, man. We got Chicago is a beautiful city. Nobody wants to go and play for Chicago, man. And this is what's so disrespectful to me. All these folks out here wearing Jordans and talking about they want to be Mike, but don't want to go play for Chicago. So I challenge any NBA free agent to go play for Chicago, man. I would love to see you. See, man, this man laughing at me because I've been laughing at him for years because the Rockets wasn't that good. But nobody wants to go play for Chicago. Joe, you know how bad it is. You know how bad it is, man. And when the NBA season start and your favorite team that you grew up watching, obviously through the '90s and a little bit of part of the '80s. I only know two players off their team. I don't know two players off the Bulls.
I still rock with the Bulls because the Bulls was my team when Jordan was there. So I try. I'm not a bandwagon dude. I know they got marketing.
Yeah, we got Lori marketing. And we got on Zach LaVine, like Mike keep telling me. And we got a couple of people like Chris Dunn. I think Chris Dunn's still on the board because he got traded from Minnesota in a Jimmy Butler trade. But that Jimmy Butler trade pissed me off.
Hey, man, old lad Dwayne Wade got up out of there. So.
Yeah,
y'all keep an eye on that dude, man.
Keep an eye on Jimmy?
I see Jimmy, but... My question with Jimmy, and I think Jimmy got a little more moxie in him than Paul George, but I hope Jimmy don't turn out to be a little bit better than Paul George. I hope he don't. I hope Jimmy Smith can really elevate and take his team, because that Minnesota team pretty good though.
They got
some pieces out there. They got some pieces. Like, I don't trust Wiggins, but you know.
But you heard the new Jimmy Butler talk though, man. I heard the recent Jimmy Butler talk.
Yeah, talking about him playing with Kyrie and how he was basically saying that he was going at the car, Anthony Towns, and a couple of players on their team.
I was looking at that. Steven Jackson was saying that they didn't think that was true.
I don't know, man. That's why I have to keep an eye on Jimmy Butler, man, because remember he had the same problem when he was in Chicago. Him and Derrick Rose, is like, oh, Derrick Rose this, Derrick Rose that, him trashing other players. You know what I mean? And he's publicly made comments towards his teammates and that nature or whatnot, man. So
yeah.
I don't know about Jimmy Butler. He may have some of that Paul George in him. He's a good player. He may think he's more important than he is, or more important or better than he actually is.
That's where I'm at with it. Like, because to me, I'm not going to lie, I see Jimmy Butler as a great second option, like a great second player who can make all-star games but not necessarily the star. That's what I see with Jimmy Butler.
I disagree with y'all because I'm a Jimmy Butler fan.
Well, he comes from Chicago.
Yeah, and I think he's a superstar in my opinion. And I like people like Jimmy,
who is a superstar.
I think he's a superstar in my opinion. I think he's one of the top 15. If you're in my top 15, I think you're a superstar, man. But
that don't mean you're the number one. That don't mean you're the number one player on the team either, though.
That's a fact. But sometimes I look back and think about Chicago, man, and think about Derrick Rose didn't get hurt against Philadelphia, man. Where would the Bulls be? You know how hard it is, man, to sit back and see your favorite team. Bro, we had Jimmy. We had Joakim. Boozer didn't give us nothing. But we had Derrick Rose. We had a great squad, man. It was Miami at the time because that's where LeBron was.
That's right.
But still, man, it's one of those things, man, that I wish I could have seen that played out and seen what Derrick Rose could have been as an NBA basketball player if he didn't get hurt. But Jimmy, I think Jimmy was coming into his own, and I think for Chicago, you know, they was coming in as their own as a good team that was going to be a force to reckon with in the future. But as Jimmy has gone along in NBA, I think he's probably thinking now that he should be the focal point of a team, and rightfully so in my opinion, because I think he's a superstar. So only time will tell if I'm proven right, but I think Jimmy is a superstar, and I think he should be a focal point of a team. That's just my opinion.
I
Man, everybody entitled to their opinion, man, but that wasn't trash, yeah. Bro. Jimmy Butler, the Jimmy Butler that dude, man.
Hey,
Jimmy Butler gets buckets, bro. I like Jimmy Butler. He gets buckets. He the man. But having him as the focal point of your team, I don't think that's the way to go, man.
We'll see. I mean, let's go back to Oklahoma City. Out of the last five MVPs, three of them came from that franchise. Westbrook, Harden, and Durant. And everybody looked at Durant as the guy. Nobody looked at Harden was a six man. If anything, you know, you didn't look at Harden and say he should be the focal point of a team. But Houston took a risk, and they paid him because, you know, obviously he was a great scorer in college, and he turned out to be a great dude off the bench for Oklahoma City. Sometimes, like you say, Mike, the when your usage rate goes up, then, you know, it tends to, you know, help you as an NBA player. And I think Jimmy is a player who can make people better. Him and Kawhi are the two, to me, are the two best two-way players in the NBA right now when healthy. So,
but let's be real.
Go ahead.
When we talk, let's be real. When we talk about James Harden, James Harden is a number two as well. James Harden ain't gonna
lose
team. Here we go.
Come on, let's
say it,
let's
Joe.
Be real. James Harden. What's James Harden's playoff reputation? Let's just start there. What's his playoff reputation?
Ooh, mate.
Melting down. No shade. But it's just like, let's just be real. Like, to me, if James Harden is going to win a championship, he not that dude. He has to either be the compliment or, like, in the situation with Chris Paul. But we all know if it wasn't for the way that Chris Paul was playing, the Rockets probably wouldn't have lasted that long. Let's just be real. See, Cam, you instigate. But I mean, because James Harden don't play defense. He doesn't make a commitment to defense. So it's like, you're a great offensive player, but if your offense isn't working as that number one player, what else can you give us? That's just me about my thoughts on James Harden. It's like, great player, one of the top five players in the league, but if we're talking about, can he lead my team to a championship? I don't know.
Okay,
I heard from the prosecution. It's time to hear from the defense.
What Joe said makes sense. I said it on the podcast. I said it to you personally, brother. I don't like what James Harden be doing in the playoffs. I 100% admit that. But if you're using that line of logic that Joe's using, then what player in the league can do that besides LeBron?
Right, but see, that's another great point. That's a great point because it's like it seems like LeBron is the only player in the league right now who can single-handedly lead his team to that next level. Because we know Durant can't. We don't know if Curry can without a Thompson or. But we know if you give Curry the pieces, he can lead the team. But But check out what I'm saying though. If you take Steph Curry and you put him on this Cleveland team this year, Cleveland ain't gonna do what they did with LeBron. So you're right. LeBron is really the only player in the league who can like will his team that way. I do agree with that.
Ain't nobody else really close to doing that. That's why he's so special. People don't give him credit for that. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, he should have this, he should have that, he should have this. But LeBron taking these teams all the way to the finals, man, with no true number two. Like, you can't even be like, man, okay, who? Yeah, Kyrie, the year they won the championship. Okay, I give him that. But, like, last year, the number two could have been anybody. Everybody say Kevin Love by the default because Kevin Love was an all-star, but he didn't play like a number two. I mean, so that number two could have been anybody on any night the way that team played last year.
So who's your top five in the NBA right now? I know we might have this as an ongoing theme in it, when we do these podcasts with Joe. Who's your top five?
Of course, we got Bron, we got Durant.
Okay.
I would say, to me, Westbrook, a healthy Kawhi, two-way, and I like Embiid. I like what Embiid do. I like Embiid.
Okay.
I don't know if I put him in top five, but I do like Embiid. Then I guess Curry. I guess I got to put Curry. Oh, no, Clay. I like Clay better than I like Curry. That's just me, though. But Because I'm looking at when I think about best player, I think about both sides of the ball. Both sides of the ball. That's what I think about. So, but
you put Clay. You got Clay in the top five.
I got to put Clay in my top five, man.
Hey, Mike, don't be – hey, first off, Mike, you remember we were talking about rap top five. You remember rap? Rap is whatever you like.
Well, I mean,
I'm trying to help Joe out, man. Joe, you're not thinking about Anthony Davis, bro. You're forgetting about Anthony Davis.
I did forget. My bad. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I forgot about AD. You're right. So I appreciate the alley. Yeah, but seriously, though, like, I did – like, Anthony Davis is top five. Yeah, he is. I did forget about him. No, so I'm not gonna dis. I was tripping on. Now I forgot about him, but I do think.
Forget about
him. I mean, right? He's not in the big market, but I do think Klay Thompson deserves way more credit than he gets because Klay Thompson is constantly guarding the other team's best player, and he can shoot just as better or even better than Curry.
Yep, 100% agree with you. I've always been a Klay Thompson fan. I give him that.
Yeah, and it's like think about it. If we in the pick and roll, I wish, like if I'm an NBA player, I wish Steph Curry was checking me because I'm going for 40.
Yeah. I respect it. I respect that.
Yeah,
you're right, though. AD deserves to be top five. Like, he's no other big man in the league is better than AD.
Okay. Nah. I agree, too. I think, you know, Embiid, AD, DeMarcus Cousins, you know, those guys, you know, when DeMarcus is healthy, you know, those are your top three in my opinion. But, you know, the NBA is going, man, I think today's brand of basketball in the NBA is better than what we watched in the 90s. I think the guys in the 90s were probably better skilled players, if that makes sense. But, you know, these guys are more athletic. And I love the brand of basketball today. I mean, it's changed. Right. People don't like it. It's not as physical and all that stuff. But it wasn't, you know, it wasn't aesthetically pleasing. You know, I mean, Michael Jordan was, he was graceful to watch. But, I mean, come on, man. John Starks, Doc Rivers. You know, them dudes are good basketball players. But, you know, I'm just saying, today's NBA is great.
Right. So let me ask, so with that being said, let me ask you this about this upcoming draft. DeAndre Ayton. What type of player? Because he's seen more of a back to the basket play, even though he does have he can front the basket, he can shoot and other things. So number one pick in the draft, DeAndre Ayton from University of Arizona going to Phoenix Suns. How do you think he would fit in today's NBA?
I don't know too much about DeAndre. I didn't watch Arizona play a lot. I know he's definitely one of those guys who's being drafted on potential. He's a 7-foot guy. He moves very well. He's a good back to the basket guy, which is great for a big man. I don't know if he's a guy who can shoot threes, but I think overall Phoenix needed something to energize their franchise, and a guy who's a homegrown guy who's from Arizona who's can help that, you know, franchise, you know, put some excitement back into the Phoenix franchise. Because I think with that pick, what it told me more is that Phoenix is willing to feed or change their style of play to be inside out. And that's big in the NBA because usually it's outside in now. And Philadelphia has done that. They changed their style of play from inside out because you got – their two top picks, which is Embiid and Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons can't shoot a three-pointer, so he's going to have to play all his game down below, 15 and below, that he's going to be super effective. So, you know, I think that's a good pick for Phoenix. Just on a little bit I do know about DeAndre Ayton.
Okay, yeah.
I think he's going to be all right in the NBA, man. He can shoot a little bit. I want to consider him a knockdown shooter, but he can go out and shoot a little bit. But definitely he's going to have somewhat of an impact on the game, but I think he's going to be like a superstar. I give him like Joel Embiid at best, man. And Joel Embiid, he almost like the measuring stick for big men because even though that shot disgusting, it go in. You know what I mean? He's a fairly good shooter. So I was like, pretty much now, man, if to consider a big man to me, to consider a big man a success in the league, You got to be either one of the two. You have to either be Joel Embiid or you have to be Rudy Gobert, one of the two. You know what I'm saying? Either you are all-around defensive player, you got a good little three-point shot, you're good in the post, or Rudy Gobert, who has none of that stuff, which is the best defender in the NBA.
Yeah.
In the paint, you know what I mean? Yeah. So
now, that's interesting. I know one thing that's very funny about Ayton and Embiid. Did you see the tweet that Embiid, because he even took shots at Ayton already, because they were comparing Ayton on draft night. They were comparing Ayton to Embiid, and Embiid was like,
yeah,
well, no, we ain't the same because I play defense.
Yeah, I saw that.
That was funny. But
yeah, he going in, and he don't know Mo Bamba.
Right. But it's kind of funny, though. It's kind of strange and funny that everybody will unanimously say that Anthony Davis is the best big man, but Embiid is the prototype that they're looking for. But because to me, Anthony Davis would be the prototype that I'm looking for. Like, we talk about a 7-footer who used to play point guard.
True.
Yeah. True.
True. And everything that Embiid can do, Davis can do it more fluently. He shoots better. He guards better. Like, Anthony Davis can guard 1 through 5. I think Embiid can guard like 3 through 5, but Anthony Davis can guard 1 through 5. Anthony Davis can handle. He can pass. He can, of course, he came coming into the league, his best attribute was his defense.
Yeah.
So it's just to me. So overall, like, when it comes to the NBA draft, what was y'all thoughts about the NBA draft, some of these picks and things, and like with Trae Young going to the Hawks, you know, Marvin Bagley II going to the Kings, then you have the 14th pick, what was his name? Michael Porter Jr. going to the Nuggets and things. Like, what was y'all just overall feeling and things about the NBA draft?
Yeah, to me, man, it's one of them years, man, where I didn't really see anybody coming in and being an impact player. I am interested in what Mo Bamba going to do in Orlando. Now, true, they do have a log jam at the center spot. I think they still got Vucevic. I think Aaron Gordon played like the 4 and the 5 sometimes. So he may not be getting as much starting as he needs to, but that dude got a damn near 8-foot wingspan, man. To me, it's going to be exciting to see what he's capable of as far as, you know, defending in the paint and that kind of stuff or whatever. I've been watching Trae Young in summer league, man, for the Hawks. His first couple of games, man, he ain't really been looking too good. I think he's still in the mindset of what he was doing in Oklahoma, he can do in the NBA. So I'm not sure if that was really a great pick for them moving up to get Trae Young. I think they traded with Dallas for Luka Doncic. I think that's what they traded for.
Yeah.
And Luka, same with Luka, man. I've seen him play against pro competition whenever they played the Thunder in that exhibition thing, whatever they did that time or whatnot. I mean, he seemed pretty straight, but he was a lot younger then also. So I don't really see any players nothing in the draft really stood out. I think teams kind of did what they had to do, you know what I'm saying, got the best player available. I don't think nobody really got anybody who was going to be like, okay, this guy's going to be the standout player, except for Memphis. Jaren Jackson Jr. been hooping in the summer league.
What about Michael Porter Jr.? Because they were saying that Michael Porter Jr. could have been the first pick in last year's draft, and then, you know, he had the back injury, but a lot of people are real high on Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah, now, you know, you were talking about earlier about the football with back injuries, but you know how back injuries are, man. They never go away. I mean, like, you may be feeling better once, something like, case in point, pre-draft, he had to sit out two pre-draft workouts because his back couldn't get out of the bed. His back was spasming up so bad. So it was like, this is a young dude, man, and back problems, man, that's a huge red flag, man. Ask Larry Johnson. You know what I'm saying? Like, that back problems could change your whole trajectory, man. Teams don't really want to bank on pushing him up earlier or higher in the draft because of that. Man, you know, you can't blame him for that, man. Back injuries, so they never can have surgery. Do all the rehab you want to, never go away. It's just a matter of you tweaking that back one day. You're right back to ground zero.
That's true. Cam, how you feel about Chandler Hutchinson from Boise State? That's your man. He with the Bulls. He ain't excited about that one, huh?
Cam sleeping?
Oh, huh? No, I'm here. Hello?
Can you hear me? No, I'm here.
I thought you was over there crying or something like that.
No, no. I had the phone on mute by accident. But man, listen. Chicago, when they pick anybody, man, I'm just happy that we pick somebody that I feel like, A, we could build something around, and B, that can bring some excitement to me, because I did like the pick we got from the kid from Duke. His name's misses me at the moment, but I just think overall Chicago, man, and the way we're moving in a sense as a franchise, I don't think it's gonna get no better. And I think Wendell I'm gonna Carter be sitting Jr. in it. Wendell Carter Jr. Yeah, he's a good player. I like his own game. Very, very efficient player, and I like that. But for the most part, I think the NBA draft, man, this year's NBA draft.
So three players I wanna, but before we wrap this up, three players. Colin Sexton going to Cleveland. Devin Chisel going to where did he go?
I think he went to Indiana. No, not Indiana.
He went to Milwaukee. He went to Milwaukee. Sexton to Cleveland, Devin Chisel to Milwaukee, and Grayson Allen to the Jazz. How y'all feel about those picks?
I think Grayson Allen got the better. He in a perfect situation for him.
He a bitch though.
I can tell you one thing about the Jazz. They're sure love a white guy, boy. Utah love a good white guy, man.
Utah love them white dudes, but and they Utah do they are good at finding those white guys who are good.
That's why I told him he went to a perfect situation, man, in Utah.
But Grayson Allen got to change his mindset because he was saying that he did all that dumb stuff on the court because he loved the game too much. That sounds like white privilege to me.
Yeah, that sounds like me too, man. It is Grayson Allen, man. His problem is, I can tell you exactly what the problem is. He's not used to losing. You know what I mean? That's something in any sport, man. You got to get used to. Of course, nobody wants to lose, but you got to get used to the idea of losing. You're not going to win every game. There's going to be players better than you. This is the way it works. You know what I'm saying? So that's where all that stuff came from, man. He probably has been the best basketball player in his neighborhood, probably the best basketball player on his team since he's been a kid. You know what I'm saying? So when you get up to these college levels, you know what I'm saying, people, you're starting to realize there's a lot of guys playing in college. A lot of guys are here a lot better than I am, and they're frustrated at him, and I think he lashed out in the wrong way. I think I kind of understand what he's saying, but I think he used the wrong words. So basically, he's not used to losing. He didn't want to lose the game. He don't like losing. He don't like people being better than him. You know, so it's a love for the game, but the reason why you trip people wasn't because of your love for the game. It's because you don't like people being better than you, or you don't like losing.
Yeah.
That's right there to me, as it speaks to any player in the NBA who comes from college to go to the NBA, it's an adjustment period. Because if you come from a Duke or you come from a North Carolina or one of those big-time college schools, you know, you're going to have to get to used to the reality that you're going to lose a lot of basketball games, because it's a reason why you get picked in the lottery to certain teams, because they're not good. So
Correct. You're
going to have that adjustment period where you're going to have to get used to losing. And it's going to be interesting to see how certain players who got drafted very high is going to have to get used to that. Grayson Allen is going to a great situation. They already got Donovan Mitchell. They re-signed on Derek Favors. They got a good team, man, and that's
still got Rudy too,
and still got Rudy Gobert. He's in a situation where he just needs to just do his job. He's not going in there to be the president or CEO right now as a top five pick.
Right.
He just needs to go in there and play off the ball and do his job.
Now I tell you what, I don't like the Colin Sexton pick now that LeBron is gone.
I agree because I
like Colin Sexton, but I don't like that with a LeBron gone, because I thought Colin Sexton would have a chance to flourish playing with LeBron, because Colin, and I watched Colin at Alabama. He mm-hmm. He's one just like Trae Young. He one way. He ain't gonna play no defense, but he's exciting when it comes to offense. But he don't really have a shot either. Now I've seen highlights of him in high school and college where he can heat up. He can heat up, and when he heat up, he's hot. But I just felt like Colin Sexton would do better with LeBron. So I thought that maybe something that LeBron could keep him in Cleveland, but I want LeBron to get away from Dan Gibson anyway. But I don't like Colin Sexton being in Cleveland with Kevin Love and the rest of the crew. So how y'all feel?
Kevin Love on the table, by the way.
Oh yeah.
You got Kevin Love and George Hill, man. They guess they're going into full rebuild mode or whatever. But yeah, those guys on the table. But yeah, I 100% agree with you, man. I think Colin Sexton is in a situation where he could have kind of played off LeBron, learned from LeBron, kind of worked his way into the NBA game. But having him there now, man, even if Kevin Love and George Hill stay and he's thrust into the point guard position, man, it's gonna look bad for him, man. It's gonna look bad for him, man. Trust me.
Because to me, even Trae Young in Atlanta, Trae Young is still going to a situation in Atlanta where a lot of those players are used to playing together, so it's not going to be as much of a demand. Even though both of them, they're going to be it's a huge demand on both of them to deliver, but neither one of them are fully NBA ready to deliver, in my opinion. But I do like their games, and they're exciting, but I don't think they're fully NBA ready to deliver into the position that they're going to be thrusting in.
I agree with them. Might not even start. Trae Young might, if Dennis Schroeder stay around, Trae Young might not even start next year.
And that's to do with the blonde patch in his head, right?
Yeah, he's been saying he wanted to go to Atlanta for a long time. He's like publicly saying he wants to go to Atlanta, man. But
why?
Unless Atlanta decide to trade him. I don't know. He's tired of losing.
Oh, he's tired of losing. Okay. I was about to say, I'm like, why you want to leave Atlanta?
I mean, you put a blonde patch in your head. You want to be a loser.
Yeah.
you sit down like, hook me up. Like, come on, bro. But so let me go ahead and move.
It's a story behind that blonde patch, by the way. But go ahead.
I bet it is. But let me move this on so I won't have y'all boys on here the whole time. So I'm watching World Cup, and one of the it was either halftime or after the game. So one of the things that they were showing was a brawl that happened between the Philippines and Australia in FIBA World Cup. And it's the FIBA World Cup qualify game on Monday. Like black dudes, white dudes, got a couple black dudes out from the NBA. But it's an NBA fight. It's a basketball fight. So no real punches were really landed and connected. Some dude got hit in the head with a chair. A couple people got kneed and kicked and stuff. Did y'all have a chance to, like, see this fight and stuff? And, like, because if you did, you got to check it out. It's a basketball fight, but it's funny because it's an international basketball fight. So, you know, they really can't fight, but, you know.
I seen it, man. It was funny, man. You realize that when you see people fight compared to, like, you can't compare people to boxers, but you realize
people can't fight.
Nobody can really fight.
Right.
Well, I mean, you know. I mean, that goes for me. That goes for anybody who's not a trained fighter. Yeah, right. Because when you watch a boxer, man, the way they throw punches, we actually wailing. I mean, you could see overhand right, you know, stuff like that, man. So nobody's really a trained fighter, man. You just hoping to land a blow. So, yeah, it was funny, and it was funny watching the big 7-foot dude jump over folks, man, trying to land blows, man, and. You know, what's so crazy about basketball, and Lonzo Ball said this, is that, you know, no dudes ain't going to fight in the NBA because nobody want to risk their money. Right. But when you over there internationally, you know, and, you know, I don't know what rules apply over there, but, you know, people are probably more prone to throw hands because there's probably not as much money on the line. And I don't know what their, like I said, I don't know what their rules are, so people might not even get suspended for it. So, It's different, man, but it was funny to watch dudes over there fight for basically nothing. Yeah. It always amazes me when we play basketball as kids, and then dudes will get on the court. One dude will be talking trash, the other dude will be talking trash. They go back and forth. But then they see, you know, it's like the classic slap boxing. When you slap box with somebody, it's going to turn into a fight after a while. Yep. And as soon as you go back and forth talking trash, man, and somebody bumps into somebody, you're like, oh, man, you done messed up the game. So what about the other players who – who say, dang, bro, I was just about to come off the bench and get some buckets. What we doing?
Right. You know? What was funny about this is, overall, you had 13 ejections. I think the Philippines was left down with three players to play. So it was like a 3-on-5, and it was either the Philippines or Australia, but the team that was left with three players, two of those players fouled out the game. So the game ended. It had to be called because you have a 5-on-1. They had literally one player left because everybody else was suspended from the game except three players, and two of the three fouled out. That was hilarious.
Ice Cube, man, he's on something. The big three. You won't have these problems. Two people off the bench.
Shout out to the big three.
Shout out to the big three, man.
I like the big three. I do like
that. Yeah, you won't have these problems, man. Dude's going out there to hoop, you know, play. I love that concept. It might transfer internationally, man. You never know.
Right,
these dudes
right.
out there, three on five. That's what the game right. ended up being, 3-on-5 at the end.
Right. It ended up being 3-on-5. Well, actually, yeah, 3-on-5 after the ejections, and at the end of the game, 1-on-5.
Oh, man.
Shout out to Fine Maker, man. Fine Maker was the big 7-foot out there throwing all the punches and everything,
yeah.
man.
Yeah.
Future with Milwaukee Bucks legend, by the way.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Oh,
hey,
my
so,
goodness,
man. So, also real quick, LiAngelo Ball. We got to talk about the Ball fam before we go. I got to get y'all. All right. LiAngelo didn't get drafted. LiAngelo didn't get invited to anybody's summer league team, as far as I know. So, you know, LaVar has the JBA. Do you think LaVar messed his son's basketball careers up, especially like LiAngelo? You think he messed LiAngelo's basketball career up? Or did
no,
LiAngelo? Y'all tell me y'all thoughts about this whole thing.
He did that. LiAngelo messed himself up when he got caught up over there in China. Now, his dad is going to be his dad. You know,
yeah.
that's but you can't – one thing I always say, somebody got to be willing to buy into your skill set. Regardless what somebody else says about you or what they're championing about you, somebody got to be willing to buy into your skill set. If you're a college kid and you wasn't a superstar to begin with and you get messed up over there in China and get arrested and you get put on the news and you quit playing basketball for UCLA and you're talking about going to the NBA, and that's not going to work for zero people in outside of it won't work for anybody, regardless of what your father did for your brother. At least your brother was a 5-star kid. He had a good season with UCLA. He had some tape. What are we going about? High school ball? You over there playing in Lithuania with some dudes who, you know, who work at a grocery store? Come on, man.
Yeah.
You're not about to get
hey,
you
man. This is like Lithuania, no. Girl.
You going out? Now ain't like name a Lithuania legend, man. Please,
man, look here. You finally got one to do it. Like, well, everybody who know anything, even just remotely a little bit about international ball, know that Lithuanian ball ain't the best brand. Like, you don't want to end up playing pro ball in Lithuania. Like, if you go play, you want to go like to other places like China, some other places, but you're not going to go to Lithuania. But I was looking at something, and they were saying one of the workouts that LiAngelo had, either with the Lakers or the Warriors, dude, like his 3 points, there was like unguarded 3-point shooting. He went either 2-for-20 or 4-for-20 from behind the 3-point line. And it was like LaVar, because LaVar ball is harping on LiAngelo being a good shooter. And so basically they're like LiAngelo plays like a power forward, but he's in a small forward, a shooting guard body. That's not good.
Mm-hmm. You right. I seen that workout. It was 2-for-20. But yeah, he so I can't really judge him off that, man, because everybody have bad shooting days, man. Like, it's just like, I don't know, man. To answer your original question, yeah, Cam made an extra point, man. LaVar had nothing to do with it, man. LiAngelo decided to steal sunglasses when he got a brother who's a multimillionaire who could have bought him as many pair of glasses as he wanted to get. So that was stupid to begin with. You know what I'm saying? But like, as far as his playing ability, man, I don't think he's better than everybody saying he is. Now, not having that college experience and getting that exposure to UCLA, I think that did hurt his overall draft stock. you know, he may have made a summer league team or something, may have got put on a few to play UCLA and sold some skills in UCLA or whatever, but I don't think he's that bad of a player. But, you know, same thing with Trae Young, man. Trae Young shot like 2 or 3 air balls to start off his summer league career, and everybody's like, oh, he's supposed to be the next Steph Curry. Steph Curry didn't start off the next Steph Curry. Steph Curry struggled too. You know what I mean? So players going to struggle, man. You know what I mean? I play a lot of basketball. Some days you just can't make shots, whether you're open or not. So, I mean, I don't really see that as a measure of how good he is or how good he can be. But, yeah, man, stealing them sunglasses killed him.
I still stealing the sunglasses killed him, because we all know if he wouldn't have stolen the sunglasses, he would have stayed at UCLA.
Correct.
But even the decision to try to come out of college and go to the league after this, because he wasn't going to start for UCLA. He was coming off the bench. So, to me, I think they were too overzealous with the one and, like, LiAngelo was not nowhere near one and done. LiAngelo probably at best was a 4-year college basketball player who probably needed to play college basketball for 4 years to help his draft stock. And I just think that LeVar's overzealousness in his mouth kind of messed up LiAngelo. Now, I think the smallest one, the youngest one, I think he'll benefit the most from these things because he'll have more time being able to play. But even the JBA, like, I've been able to watch a couple of the JBA games. It ain't a talent out there. It ain't no talent. Like, me, you, and Cam can get two other people and go out there and play now. Like, it's no talent out there. Like I follow them on Instagram. They be posting up people's stats. Like, every game somebody's scoring 40. Every game somebody having a 40-point triple-double. Every game?
Yeah. It's the competition, and that's terrible, bro.
Yeah. Now, I do think we as Black America should support the JBA, though. I do think we should. We should not focus on the talent level now, because remember, we always complain. We always calling for somebody from our community to start our own. Somebody has. We just need to support it. It don't have to be the best brand. It could eventually become the best brand, but between that and even the 3-on-3 is not fully Black owned, because a white guy partly owned that, but Q partly owned that. But I think if people support it, even though it's probably not going to last because people not, but I will remind people that you can't let the JBA be created, and then we say, hey, we need our own league. The own league is here. Then we're like, oh, well, no, not that type of own league. So I do want to put that on people's mind. But
yeah, that's a fact.
I 100% agree with you, man, because I have no problems with the JBA itself. You know what I mean? It's like anything else, man. It's going to take time for that stuff. It's going to take time for it to grow. You know what I mean? Even the NBA itself, man, it didn't start off as the league it is now. It had to grow.
Right.
They had to get teams from the ABA. They had to get some of the great players from the ABA to come over and get to the NBA and make the NBA what it is. You know what I'm saying? Then even on top of that, once they came over, they had to do a lot of rule changes, you know, adding three-point lines, allowing players to dunk, all that type of good stuff and whatever. So it's a tweaking process. And I think LeVar Ball, I definitely salute him for going out there and starting his own league. And I think one day it's going to be profitable. Honestly, he really won far away, man. If one five-star good basketball player decides he want to join the JBA, that's it. All dominoes going forward after that. He just need one star like the Buck College and decide to go to the JBA, and he'll be in a good spot, man. Trust me.
Yeah, but because LeVar Ball, I like LeVar Ball, but LeVar Ball is that dude that I don't want to talk sports with you because you just going to say any dumb shit that come to your mind. So, But it's us for our community to understand that you can't get caught up in your feelings, though. Like, I can't get caught up in the feeling that I wouldn't have a competent sports conversation and let that translate to I don't like this dude, because I think that's what we're doing. Because, LeVar is loud and brash and bombastic and all these other words you can use, but he ain't hurting nobody. And the things that he's doing for his sons, you know how many young kids will line up for LeVar to be their daddy, to do that for them, or even half of that? So, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. He did a great job with Lonzo, man, because to me, Lonzo was not a top-5 pick in the draft. Lonzo, to me, didn't have a good UCLA career. It was like an average basketball player to me from what I've seen of him playing at UCLA. But LeVar taught him up to number 2 pick on the Los Angeles Lakers. You know what I'm saying? So you got to give him that, man. And proof of that is what you've seen in the league so far, man. Jason Tatum and Kyle Kuzma and what's my other man's name? Donovan Mitchell. All those guys played a lot better than Lonzo Ball did last year, and they got picked a lot lower than he did. You know what I'm saying? So that goes to show you that he wasn't the best player in the draft.
Right.
Then they should have picked De'Aaron Fox, in my personal opinion. The Lakers should have, but that's a different story.
Hey, you know, because he did serve up Lonzo in the tournament, but hey.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
No, you're going on your you've been hating on Lonzo, man.
I hate Lonzo, man. I just speak the truth, man. I speak the truth, bro.
Your truth sounds like hate.
It might sound like hate, but it ain't no hate in here, man. I love Lonzo. I like the Ball family. I like Lonzo. I like LiAngelo. I like LaMelo. I like all three of them. That's why I always got LiAngelo back. Everybody be down on LiAngelo. I always got his back, man. I think the man can play basketball. But I don't think Lonzo Ball was number two pick worthy, man. I'm just speaking my truth, bro.
I think he was a top 10 pick. I don't think he was number two.
I don't know if y'all remember these.
I can give you that.
Yeah. I don't know if y'all guys remember these dudes because I think Allen Bell, I think he was maybe 2 or 3 years younger. Y'all probably wouldn't know him because he was 2 or 3 years younger than us. But because I know y'all graduated from high school 2000. So my senior year, Allen Bell maybe was a freshman. He went on to play football at Iowa State. The reason why I'm mentioning him because he has a YouTube channel called AB the Hero. And he started supporting the Big Baller brand and LeVar and them through his YouTube channel. And he was able to parlay that into now, if you watch the ABA game, I mean the JBA games, and you listen to the commentators, one of those commentators is a guy named Allen Bell who came from Ricketts here in Tallahassee. So he was able to parlay that into being one of the principal announcers for the JBA game. So, I've been giving him a shout-out, so I've been telling everybody they went to Ricketts.
So, oh, big shout-out to that man.
First of all, yeah, definitely big shout-out. Second of all, you need to work on this craft. I'm going to keep an eye on it because I heard that announcing and it's not good, bro. You need to work on this craft, man. Shout out for getting your thing up, man. Work on your craft, bro. Keep working on your craft, man.
Hey, that's funny.
Okay.
Hey, Joe, you know what I'm talking about, bro. I ain't scared to say it. You know what I'm talking about, bro.
Hey,
you don't heard that comment there.
Hey, I heard too. I mean, you know, I'm just, hey, man, since you brought it up, but
I have no opinion about it.
I haven't listened to it.
Now, that's a good move, though, man. That's for real, man. For him to have his YouTube page, man, and go from there, that's a good move, man. Definitely shout out to him for getting into the comments here again.
Yes, sir.
Did you ever listen to Ernie Sims' radio show?
Oh, my God. Horrible. 97.4.
Yeah, man.
I said, man, he needs some structure. Somebody need to help him. No, it doesn't. Yeah. I used to listen to it
because
it was so funny.
Man, that thick ass. See, the thing is, right? When they got to go down there and they got to throw that football, and then the sport, and it's like Ernie, dog, like Ernie, you cool. I like you. I like what you do for the community. I like all these things. But that radio show was horrible.
Yeah, I agree.
It wasn't good at all, man. I remember listening to it, somebody got to help this man structurally, man. If anything, he has to go to a media class and learn how to speak over the radio. It's tough, man. I mean, you just can't go over there. You just can't get on a radio show or a podcast or anything and just think you could just talk and it makes sense to everybody.
A lot of people think they just jump on and just start talking, and you can't do that. Like, you got to structure stuff out. Like, you actually have to be interested.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, cool.
What are you trying, doing? He tried.
Yeah.
Oh, he tried. Shout out to him. He did his thing. Never knock a man for trying. He just wasn't good at it. Maybe he'll give it a second shot and he'll be better at it. But that first going around, man.
It was rough. Man, once again, though, man, I'd like to thank y'all gentlemen for coming on The Fix, man, and hanging with me, talking some basketball, talking sports and stuff, because always a good conversation when y'all come through, always interesting when y'all come through, definitely. So I want to make sure my studio audience show y'all boys some love, give y'all a round of applause for coming through, Nothing Above the Moon podcast.
Hey, Mike, and go ahead and shout, because I did a horrible job at shouting out our social media networks.
Yeah,
because I was just walking around the closet and I was trying to get my clothes ready to get clean today. So, you know, go ahead and shout out those on social media networks.
What can people find y'all? How can people find y'all?
Yeah, I heard that earlier, man. I didn't want to say nothing, but that was horrible. I got you.
Hey, man. But that's why I let you come in clean it up. You feel me? You got it. This is the thing in life. Sometimes you just got to know your place. And you the social, you the shout out guy.
No, in the photo.
In the photo. Go ahead, bro.
Gmail, man. Holler at us at Gmail. nothingabovethemoon60@gmail.com. Our Twitter handle is above_podcast. It's on Twitter. Our Facebook page, Nothing Above the Moon Podcast. You'll find us there. Instagram. Can you do Instagram? What's the Instagram handle?
It's Nothing Above the Moon.
Sure.
I'm positive.
Please, that's pretty much it, man. Follow us on Twitter, man. Holler at us on Facebook, man. Send us emails, nothingabovethemoon60@gmail.com. We're on social media right now. Oh, we have a YouTube page also, Nothing Above the Moon Podcast on YouTube. We're going to start adding content there soon also. So keep a lookout for that, man.
You know, just throwing this out, hopefully we get y'all boys over here on this freedom train. And, you know, just throwing that out there, just reminding y'all, you know, the doors are wide open for you guys to come on over to the freedom train and rock with us. So just reminding you.
That's good. Hey, it's good to have that invite. I definitely appreciate it, man. We've been out here grinding, man. We're trying to, you know, releasing. We've been pretty consistent lately, man. Releasing every Tuesday, man, on SoundCloud. I forgot about SoundCloud. Check us out on Nothing But the Moon Podcast on SoundCloud also. We're putting out good content, man, so check us out, man. Listen for us.
That's fair. Definitely appreciate y'all, gentlemen. And going to have y'all back on here because, you know, y'all my basketball experts. So whenever
you gotta come back to us, man. When you coming back home to the honeycomb hideout?
Let me know when I need to come through. Cause I know we need to get into some good conversations. Y'all just let me know when y'all want me to come through, cause you already know I'm down.
Okay.
Oh yeah, yeah. Gotta get you on, man. We gotta get you on for some full coonery, man. Like that's what our podcast is all about, is coonery, bro. We gotta get you on there for some coonery, man. You know what I'm saying? That's how you got on there. We kept it all serious, man. We gotta coon out with you, man.
Hey man, I bring my white gloves and be ready, man.
Man, for Joe's people on the fix, man, it's not 100% coonery, by the way. We do have some in depth topics that we talk about from time to time. See, now this is when you know your lane. So you did the shout out. Let me go ahead and do my lane. You know.
Hey man, these listeners used to me wilding out over here, so you know.
What's the percentage of coonery then, Cam? It ain't 100%, bro.
I'm not saying it's that coonery on it. It's close to 25%. You know, but 75% of the show is some substance. We still need to figure out if a deer would drink antifreeze. I still don't believe a deer would drink antifreeze if you put it in front of him. Mike believes it. So we still need to go out there and do that. Now, shout out to PETA or any of these or the Florida Wildlife Protection.
Y'all being environmentally destructive now.
Nah, we just testing the waters, man. We want to see.
Yeah.
I think they will.
No, they won't. No, they won't. And if you see a deer fall out on the side of the road and you see him, his mouth with blue all around it or something like that, it wasn't us who put the antifreeze out.
Any deers near Woodville falling out, we're going to have to come get y'all.
Well, thanks again for having us on your podcast, man. And we definitely need to return the favor to you, man. Yeah.
Definitely appreciate y'all because it was a last-minute thing, but wasn't expecting this free agency to go on the way it was. So I definitely wanted to have y'all on to talk about it. So appreciate y'all, and we're going to set everything up so we can continue being on each other's shows and stuff.
Yes, sir.
Cool, man. Sound good, bro.
Yes, sir. So I'll talk to y'all later.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. There it is. My home is Nothing Above the Moon Podcast, y'all. Really going down in the South. So before we get to my weekly rant, I do want to give you guys an update on the World Cup. So of course, you know, the round of 16 for the World Cup has started. So far, what has happened is, you know, Argentina and Uruguay were put out by France and Portugal, right? So France beat Argentina 4-3, and then Uruguay beat Portugal 2-1. And then on July 1st, we had Spain versus Russia. Then we had Croatia, Denmark. And both of these games were great games because both of these games came down to the penalty kick. So it was 1-1 Both of these games were 1-1 at the end of regulation. So at the end of the 90th minute, it was 1-1. And Russia and Spain on the penalty kicks. And the Russia and Spain penalty kick scenario, outside of all the ones that I saw, because it was Russia, Spain, Croatia, Denmark, and then it was Colombia, England. Now, Colombia, England was very, very, very riveting as well. But that Croatia, I mean, but the Russia, Spain, because Russia wasn't going to win that. Russia looked like they was out, but the goalie, the save that the goalie made with his foot, he was diving. He almost dove the wrong. He dove the wrong way, but he kicked his foot back, and bam, and it deflected the ball from going into the goal, and that gave Russia the win over Spain. So Russia moves on, and then Croatia beats Denmark 3-2 in the penalty kicks. So Russia and Croatia, they're going to have to play. Brazil, Monday, Brazil beat Mexico 2-0, and Belgium beats Japan 3-2. So, and Brazil looked damn good, by the way. But I got to get on Neymar, and that's coming up next, and all these soccer players are acting soft because Neymar was laying on the ground about 3 minutes, faking like he was hurt. But Brazil looked way better now. Brazil looks like they – Brazil and Belgium look like those two may be the best overall teams, right? England looked pretty good, too. Sweden and Switzerland. Sweden beat Switzerland 1-0, and Colombia lost to England on the penalty kicks because the Colombia one of the Colombian players – well, two of them missed penalty kicks. Two of them missed the penalty kicks. And because they missed penalty kicks and England made the kicks that they need, England beat Colombia 4-3. So coming up, we have and the matches today. Today's matches is France and Uruguay, Brazil and Belgium. And then you have Saturday, you have Sweden versus England versus the winner of the of England and Colombia, and then you have Russia versus the winner of Switzerland and Sweden. So, I mean, something like that. Sweden get the England's winner, and then Russia get the Croatia winner. So, that's how that's going down. So, hey man, the World Cup is really, really, really revving up. We're in basically the round of eight, as you can tell, the quarterfinals. Quarterfinals and semifinals and third place match in the World Cup final. So I look to see. We're expecting France and Brazil to meet in the semifinals. That's what everybody is expecting. Because France is out there looking real good. France is looking real good. Mbappe, all the boys, France is looking real good. So we're expecting to see Brazil and France in the semifinal game. Or, see what Russia may do. So just keep your eyes peeled. And keep your ears open for that when it comes down to the World Cup. Dun, dun, dun. Now it's time. It's time. Time for the weekly rant. And I got to go in on these soft-ass soccer players. So, Neymar Jr., starting with you in these soccer players. Come on. Come on now. I understand there's strategy and soccer players rolling around on the ground trying to get yellow cards and red cards and stuff pulled on players, because if you get a red card and a yellow card and all these things, that player can be kicked out the game and then they have to sit out the next match, and it's got all type of long-term ramifications and all that, yada, 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 yada. I underdig that. But we going to need y'all boys to stop acting like some little-ass kids out there on that goddamn soccer field. And just you, because soccer players, like, I'm watching the game. I'm watching the match. I literally see the soccer player get kicked in the shin pad, not in an exposed part of his leg. He's literally kicked in the shin pad, and the motherfucker grabbed his shin pad and rolled around on the ground for like a minute, as if somebody shot him. And I'm sitting there, like, I'm already almost bald head. My hairline on LeBron, right? And I'm like, bruh, I want to pull out the rest of the hat that I have, because I'm looking at these soccer players like, you got to be kidding me. Like, you have got to be kidding me. You mean to tell me, because I know soccer players do this, but it's this, it's extreme. And so now what prompted this weekly rant is, like I said, I love Brazil. I fuck with Neymar and them. But Neymar's fiasco was so bitch made that they created articles in the whole news stories and headlines around Neymar, as good as he is, rolling around on the ground for 3 minutes, quote unquote, allegedly faking like he was hurt. But it's just like, it's the thing that soccer players do on a regular basis. It's like, get your goddamn ass up off the goddamn ground, man. So you mean to tell me rugby players are literally, basically, rugby players playing hood football, structured hood football with no pads. That's what rugby is. Like we used to call it bus meat. That ain't, now that I'm older, that ain't the best name for a football game, especially for a whole bunch of boys who like women. So the name of the game was bus meat. But nevertheless, we played bus meat, and we either played it in the grass or in the streets. Or even in the streets, we played something called sideline stick when we played football in the streets. So basically what sideline stick is, the football game is happening on the concrete because that's the best, that's the most room we got. But it's grass on the sidewalk areas on the side that's around the concrete. So if you get caught on the side and sideline stick, bam, we get to tackle you. So I'm setting this up for you, right? So you got hood football, sideline stick, and just regular tackle football. Then you got bus meat. Then you got rugby. And then you got all these other things with no pads. And you get hit and you get up, but soccer players get hit and roll around like they just got shot. And we all know it ain't that sick, because you'll get up and then run it off. And then just run around like nothing happened. Let that ball come back to them. The whole injury just disappeared. And it's like, God damn, soccer players, stop this. Stop doing what you're doing, soccer. Like you're that. That's not good for a novice like me. Somebody like me, I'm more of a novice. I'm not going to say I'm a novice because I literally look forward to watching the World Cup. I like to watch soccer. I even watch international soccer. Now, I'm not going to lie. I don't watch American soccer. I don't really watch the MLS. I mean, the Major League Soccer. Yeah, MLS, Major League Soccer. I don't watch that. I just don't think American football is the best brand of football or football, soccer to watch. I just don't. But I do like to watch soccer, and I catch games time to time, and I do see some things that happen. But for the most part, for the soccer players, well, for the people who tune in every now and then to soccer, to see soccer players just rolling around on the ground like somebody's just shot them is frustrating. It's unsettling. It's unnecessary. It's like, why are you guys doing this? Why? Get your goddamn ass up. Get up. So you mean to tell me you got tripped? You got tripped, and now life is over because you got tripped? You can't tell me life is over because you got tripped. So you mean to tell me you're the first person, you soccer players, are the first people to be tripped ever? Are you the only people to ever be tripped? And if I hit you in the part of your leg where you actually got padding, what the hell? Like, I've seen a soccer player be kneed in the chest and get up. But nah, he get tripped, and he had like somebody didn't cut off his shins, and I'm like, man, look. Like I say, I get the strategy behind. I'm trying to draw a yellow card on this player, because if I can get you two yellow cards, you out. But come on, man, y'all got to stop acting like y'all ain't athletes, man. That's why people don't respect soccer players like that, especially in America. We don't respect soccer players like that because we think soccer players are soft. They're paid great. They're greatly paid. Black people, put your kids in the soccer. Black people, put your kids in soccer. But come on, goddamn soccer players, stop being soft. Stop. You like, come on. You can't like, ain't nobody cut you. Ain't nobody shoot you. You wasn't really hit that hard. You just got tripped. Like, this ain't your first time being tripped. And like, how many like the first game that Brazil played, like Neymar was getting his ass whooped, but come on, but Neymar and all you other soccer players, look, stop that shit.
Get your goddamn ass up off the ground, man. You're a grown-ass athlete, a grown-ass man who's an athlete who is among the best in the world, and y'all act like this. Y'all act like, man, like I can go out right now in my community and watch a community league youth soccer game, watch little baby girls, little 5 and 6 year old girls get tripped and all types of stuff happen, and they get their ass right back up. So how you got young little 5 and 6 year old girls who would get tripped? So they get hit in the face with the ball. All types of stuff can happen. They'll get right back up. But y'all grown ass, big ass men, you get tripped one time. Somebody kick you in your leg or something like that, and you act like it's over. Like I was saying with Cam and Mike, I'm a football player. I played football all my life. Half that stuff that y'all call injuries, please, you try to bring that to the football field, you'll be laughed out of the sport. So the moral of this rant is soccer players just soft. They be acting soft. Soccer players be acting soft, and when they stop doing that shit, that'll make the game a little more favorable, a little more respectable, a little more watchable. Even though I do like soccer, but that takes away from the game to me. I hate watching that. That's what prompted this rant, and I'm done. I am Joseph Ward. This is the Fix Sports Podcast. Thank you for tuning in right here on the Freedom Train Network. Toot toot, where we get it in. Hey, man, so www.freedomtrainradio.com. Shout out to all my Freedom Train Network mates. We're doing what we're doing. We're growing. We're getting it in there. One time for Cam and Mike coming back through. Nothing Above the Moon Podcast. Make sure you check it out. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, SoundCloud, Nothing Above the Moon Podcast. That's how we get down. This is The Fix. Hey, man, I am your homeboy, Josiah Watt. Peace.
I am the greatest.
I called the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. That need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back Jack. And it is 4-1.
On that ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless.